Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the North South Wrestling Connection. I am Robert Seidelman, and alongside me is the southern side of the northern equation, Carl Schneer.
Hello, Rob. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How was your day?
Long. How about yours?
Felt like I was banging my head against the wall at a liberal college made of rock, so pretty much the same ideal.
Oh, jeez.
Did you watch Raw on Monday?
Bits and pieces of it.
You have John Laurinaitis, who's a kiss-ass.
Major kiss-ass. I'm general manager.
Interim general manager. And
I can't quite hear his voice very well. Sorry.
That's because you don't have the intellect of a John Laurinaitis.
I don't want the intellect of a John Laurinaitis. Thank you. Oh,
that's because he doesn't have any.
There you go.
That's why the intellect is with David Otunga.
It's like talking to a test monkey. I don't know.
A rhesus monkey.
There you go.
With a bow tie.
I don't think that was the biggest story of Raw, though, Rob.
No, it wasn't. It was David Otunga making a bigger ass of himself by actually learning how to by doing T-bowing.
Oh, jeez.
Ahem. What am I just walking into here?
Oh, hi, Nikki.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Nikki. Yeah, yeah. Anybody read a calendar lately? This isn't 2007.
Oh, crap.
We kind of wish it were.
No. This is 2012. I know how to start a show. I got a button over here for this. Watch this.
CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
I'm a lifelong, proud, drug-free, straight-edge individual. So Chris and I come from two completely different worlds. I don't have a manager. I don't have a bodyguard. I don't need a bodyguard. I don't have an assistant. I have no need for a PR team to tell me what to tweet or when to tweet tweets. And I don't hate women. Period. You don't hit women. In my world, women are to be revered and respected. And I firmly believe that in this life, there are consequences and repercussions for people's actions. And I don't think Chris is paid for what he's done. So Chris wants to throw stones my way now. And I say, that's fine, but put some gloves on and get in the ring. And I will choke you out, and I will make you feel as weak and as powerless and scared and alone as any woman who is in the misfortune of knowing a sad, cowardly little boy such as yourself. I just know that someday, somewhere, somehow, somebody will put Chris Brown exactly where he belongs, and it honestly doesn't have to be me. I would just really like it to be.
Now then, where were we? Back to the top of the show. North American Wrestling Connection, Nikki Haman, Jason Block, VRM, Jim Williams. Where do we begin? This has been a crazy week.
How about at the beginning? How about last Sunday?
All right. Let's start with those two great big ugly cages. All right, who out of this crew saw the pay-per-view?
I saw it.
I did.
I did not.
Okay. Jason, I know you know, what you read of it, you weren't terribly impressed. I will say that if you are somebody who likes to tour around on YouTube, go find the SmackDown Chamber match, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at the Raw Chamber match. Both of those were very good.
I think SmackDown was a better match.
I would agree.
SmackDown's Chamber had a better ending. Mm-hmm. The Raw Chamber had a lot more action.
And a lot more gaga.
Oh yeah, and a little bit of its own drama mid-match, as they protected Chris Jericho by throwing him into the cage door and making him bowl over a cameraman and run into the guard wall.
With protection like that, who needs support?
KTFO'd.
So yeah, and so that was his nice little check for, I'm safe. I didn't get eliminated. I got a beef.
Mm-hmm.
Pointed out that the both of the A belts. This is the first chamber pay per view that. Well, actually, this is the first set. Both champions retained, and this was more or less expected out of the group.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big highlights of this though was Santino.
Yes.
Santino playing Rocky to Eugene's music.
Yes.
And
he's like, when I heard that, I was like, why is this familiar? It's like, wait, then you, like, this sounds so familiar. Why can't I put the name to the music? And then you came in and told me, like, Eugene, oh.
So, you know, I've been giggling about that. In fact, it carried over for Santino into SmackDown, which we will get to in a moment. Let me get the pick'em totals up because I forgot to put that someplace where I could get to it right away. All I know is that I do not have the belt anymore.
We have a new Fizzleweight champion.
We do. So if you will give me just a moment while I get that pulled up. But unfortunately, the rest of the card really couldn't measure up. I mean, the women's match was good.
But the ambulance match just sucked the chrome off of 57 Bumper.
It should not have been the main.
It was a weak main.
Absolutely
and
it was.
And for that ending, that generic kind of.
Yeah, the one that we've gone down that road how many times before over the years? You could have had somebody who's been a wrestling fan in the last 5 years come up with a better setup, a better match, script a better match than that. That was everything by the book that you expected.
Right, and it was the typical ending, as the spoiler reads, Cena wins. Don't make me play that.
Well, you may not get the chance to again. Hey, why not?
No. I will get that moved. Let's see. Where is that button?
No, we don't. Well, you don't need to hit it. I was only, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but honestly, F you off the top of the ambulance into the obvious padding, and then Kane is dead. You just throw him into the ambulance and lock the door. That is so weak.
That's WCW weak.
Yeah, no. I will give him. I'll give him props for almost getting both doors closed on Cena. You know, you knew it was coming, but they did that very well. But this was not a main event. This was the. If you used it for a main event, you could use it as a main event on Raw. You don't use this for a pay per view. So let me get these numbers up. Whoops! What did I just do? Oh, we're still here. Right?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, pressed the wrong button. So, only one wild card played out. VRM, congratulations.
Which was? I forget.
He called that Santino was going to get an elimination in the match, and he actually got two.
Good,
yes.
Good call.
I was so close. I was within one brand of getting it right. I did not expect the Raw chamber to go first.
I wasn't expecting that to open either, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
We had
that's been the theme with the chamber pay-per-views is the at least one chamber will open.
And they do something similar with Hell in a Cell, just to space them out. So while I did not win, I wasn't that far behind.
Right. There's a log jam of sorts, I have a feeling.
There's well, actually, everybody who's here,
mm-hmm.
You, me, Jason, and VRM, all have 4 points.
Four!
Stat Boy, Forrest, Tyler, DJ, and Shano are all buggered up at 3. But we have a tie at the top.
Uh-oh. Looks like we're going to need a bigger belt.
Or we might need a pair of belts, as Carl... and Jerry took us all out at 5 points.
Nice job.
So, gentlemen, congratulations. You are Fizzleweight champs until WrestleMania. Because we're all going to fix that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
As long as Jack Swagger's in a match that I can predict him winning that nobody else expects him to
win. Yeah,
I'll cry it out loud.
That would.
And hopefully we'll have more than four matches assigned to the card by the day of the show.
Oh, we have
that
few,
way.
We have a few
on.
Already, thank you very much.
Indeed.
Well, we have four right now. That's what I'm saying. But lately they've only put four max on the card, and then they spring these bonus matches on us, which it's fine. But when you're hyping for your biggest show, you want to make sure you have everything that's going to be on the card.
Well, trust me, they're already well underway with that because we have our A-belt matches in place. Monday, we had a promo that set up Undertaker's match, which, oh, by the way, in person was awesome. If people would have shut up.
Oh, that's right. You were there.
Yes.
I was there. And admittedly, we were a little rowdy at some points. A comment to Dolph Ziggler, somebody said Kurt Hennig is calling from heaven, he wants his gimmick back, which I responded, and Billy Gunn wants his shorts back.
The funny thing is, I was listening to a podcast on Art of Wrestling at WeLoveColt.com, and Dolph Ziggler said that, Cole Cabana said that one of the four songs on his iPod when he works out is the Ass Man song. Trust me.
Oh, goodness. And I believe that. I believe that when it comes to Colt.
How can you not love to love him and love to kick him? Come on.
Well, let's see. But one of the other things that they've started to build, which we saw on both shows this week, was the fact that there is a power struggle. Since the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, is busy going nose-to-nose with a dead man.
That's a lot of nose.
Granted. Johnny Clown Shoes and Teddy Long have started getting in each other's faces.
I resent being called Johnny Clown Shoes.
Don't blame me. Blame CM Punk. Besides,
CM Punk.
Besides, Clown Shoes has already put together, he has already got a group of backers. We had some returns at the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Alberto Del Rio and Christian dropped by. Mark Henry apparently will be cleared to wrestle by Mania.
Mm-hmm.
And Ace Attorney David Otunga, photobomb and all, will probably lace up his boots and undo his bow tie for this match.
Mm-hmm.
So, speculations, guys. Who can Teddy get at this point?
Hmm.
Well, I'm guessing Randy Orton because he's not going to be in the title picture.
Right. Makes sense.
Okay. So now, all of those guys are heels, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing maybe faces. So who are faces on the on the SmackDown side at the moment?
Santino.
Well, it's not just, keep in mind, it's not just per se the SmackDown side, because remember, it's a power struggle where the winner gets to be the GM of both brands, so expect people from both shows to be on Teddy's side.
Okay, then I'm guessing maybe Kofi, Randy, unless Kofi's in Money in the Bank, which
mm-hmm.
is a possibility. Wait
a minute, they're not doing Money
Mason
in the Bank.
Mason Ryan.
Are they?
They are.
Oh, that's
right. It's my understanding that they've done away with the pay-per-view and put it back on the Mania card.
Okay, I wasn't sure which way that was going. Okay.
Yeah, looking at other names, Mason Ryan.
Yeah, because I wouldn't want him in Money in the Bank.
No.
I'm saying Mason Ryan wouldn't be on Teddy's team.
And how long is Zack Ryder on the shelf, quote-unquote?
Zack Ryder could be there.
True.
I'm looking at the face roster. I see Kali, Sho, Yoshitatsu.
I don't
Drew
know. I'm still sensing, contrary to what WWE.com said this week, Sho's going to be busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know who's Teddy's team going to be yet. But it's going to be very interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. Now, since we got to see the gamut of stuff, so I got to see a dark match with Silverback Reeves, a.k.a. Ryback, killing JTG. I got to see a couple of Superstars matches, including a McGillicuddy A-Rai match, where the entire crowd refused to call Michael McGillicuddy Michael McGillicuddy.
Henning Chance broke out.
Henning Chance, Mr. Perfect Chance, all of that.
Nice.
So that at least was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We got two bonus dark matches. And I will talk about one of them, but I want to talk about one thing that happened before that, and that was that 10-man number one contenders match that could have been utterly disastrous.
Oh. Yes. The barrage got derailed.
Yeah, watching the... when I saw that originally, I thought Dolph took the worst out of it because of the way he landed on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Because that looked painful. I didn't see what was going on underneath Dolph's body with Barrett's left arm.
Right. And I went back and looked at it again once I got home because where I was lower level but closer to the ramp. So I didn't have a very good view. But after the crash landing, even from where I was sitting, I could see Barrett thrashing around.
Okay.
And...
Watching the replay, though, and actually focusing on him, that was... Oh.
Right. And home audience didn't get this, but there were two refs X's up very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The...
I actually did see one refs X.
There was one ref around his thigh. He came around to the thigh. You saw that one.
There was that one, but there were two right over by the announce table. They have one of the medics sitting there. He jumps out of his seat. The fat medic comes down from the back, along with a couple more refs. And I think they thought they were going to lose Dolph and Barrett right then and there.
Right.
Dolph turned out to be okay. Barrett, thankfully. Despite his protests, I remember, you know, watching him yelling at the officials, and it was confirmed that he said something along the lines of, "I broke my fucking arm!"
Oh, Jesus. Look out.
Actually, it's muted. Anybody who's recorded this, there's a blank.
Uh-huh.
All the refs are talking to him because he yelled it that loud.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it was a dislocated elbow, which is no less painful. And... he is an outside shot for Mania, but I think they're gonna let him recover fully, and they can start him fresh right afterwards. I hate to see him lose a Mania paycheck, but I'd rather him be 100%.
And I believe he tweeted, you know, no crocodile tears for me.
Yeah.
The Barrett barrage will be back, or something to that effect.
He says he had something. He actually had a funny quip in that tweet about him facing. Insert former WWF wrestler. I forget which one it was, but it was pretty funny. But best wishes to Barrett, definitely.
Yeah, because it looked pretty
bad. It looked bad. It looked bad as heck. I mean,
what was I going to say? Nikki, you did see the TV production of this, correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay. You did notice that they covered it really well by not focusing on him at all once the landing took place.
Yes. But apparently the chatter was distracting enough that the announcers did touch on it.
They did.
They touched on it, but they didn't. They stayed focused on the match otherwise.
Yeah.
They did mention.
They did get a replay. Did get a replay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall Cole or Josh saying that Barrett may have broken his arm and something with Ziggler.
Okay.
But yeah, they did. They actually brought a gurney down to wheel Barrett out, and he refused to get on it.
And there was an audible cheer after that, I think, from the crowd, and I think that got through over the air and what have you, towards, what was it after the match, I guess, at that point?
Yeah, the match was over when he was heading to the back. I saw that his arm had a foam and plastic wrap on it to stabilize it because they weren't sure what was going on at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So he heads to the back. We do the wrap up with Punk and Jericho, since we knew this was going to happen. Cameras go off. Ziggler's music hits. So, yeah, he's okay.
Praise be.
he comes out and makes a snide remark about him being the best in the world and thanking Jericho for noticing. And having a short WWE title match with CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Punk retains, of course, you know, celebrates with the crowd. We think the show is over. Justin Roberts gets on the microphone and says, "And now for our main event." I'm like, "Really?" I turn around. "Really? Kaboom!"
Okay.
And out comes Kane. Just because Kane apparently did not get enough at the pay-per-view, so he had to come out and subject himself.
There you go.
But I understand why they did that. A, to get, you know, get the kiddies to go home happy, because Cena didn't wrestle on the air. He did something better.
Oh, he did two things better, if I may. First of all, in the opening segment of Raw, which we could go under the term bad acting. And I say that term loosely, especially coming from Cena. Eve basically turned total bitch mode and says, "Oh, I used Zach, I used Cena, you know, and I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to use, you know, and all that stuff." And then,
notice the Bellas are awfully quiet and like they're trying to get her attention. Because guess who's standing right behind her?
Music, please.
Oh, dagnabbit, you catch me off guard.
Right.
What time for Super
Alpha? Yeah, exactly. So Eve's plan is blown.
Boop, boop,
and then she goes, wait, let me explain. And then Cena does, you know, comedy Cena, but uses the term, "I lost my broski to a hoski." And of course, hoski trended in the whole nine yards.
Yeah. Well, now, notice they trended that, but they didn't trend Zack Ryder's comment, his hashtag, broskis before hoskis.
Because, and I knew that had to have come from somewhere because there was a sign to that effect in the crowd. And I didn't think Cena picked it up from there. Somebody told me that Zack had tweeted it. And sure enough, the hoski chant erupts in the arena. And I am unfortunately dying of laughter.
Yes, because it was actually quite funny.
It was.
But as you said, Cena did something which has been called by the internet as Cena's best promo ever.
And let's see.
Went so far to say that, yes.
Let me get somebody else on the table here, and let's talk a little bit more about it. Line 4, hello.
Hello, Nikki.
Ah, good evening. Staff Boy Josh Henniger has joined us.
Yes,
but you already
from
know
the treacherous streets of Greenville, Ohio. Jesus Christ, it's horrible out there.
Yeah, the Mean Street Posse of Greenville. Yeah.
Welcome, Josh.
Hello.
So Cena, before he was so rudely interrupted by Eve, the hoski.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, I do have the answer to your question. How did Zach get it out there? It was actually on D True Long Island Story episode number 53 last Friday. That's how it got out there.
Okay. So yeah, there were some diehards down on the floor with the broskis before hoski sign, plus a sign that just read, "Are we having fun yet?"
Yeah.
And speaking of locations in Ohio, Let's see. Let's bring in our ace attorney. DJ, good evening, sir.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Win! Win!
No!
Oh, yes, yes.
By the way, welcome to the party, DJ. Long time no speak.
Yes.
Good to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
DJ, we were just getting ready to talk about John Cena's epic promo on The Rock, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on that if you got to see it.
It was really good. I was on Twitter the whole time on Raw Monday, following along with other wrestling fans, and I know a lot of people tweeted that was probably Cena's best promo in a long, long time. I know I follow Mark Madden. I know some people think he's a blowhard, but I follow him mainly for Pittsburgh sports stuff. But he says that was Cena's best promo ever that he had ever done, and he thinks that Cena could be a star in any era. So based off of that promo, the way he did it. So I agree. I thought it was a great promo. It's exactly what you need. And he talked about winning the match, which I think is important. You don't hear a lot of these days. You know, you hear about everything else, but he said something about winning the match. So that was I like that little wrinkle that he threw in there.
He even referenced, professional wrestling.
Yes, he did. But let's go back to the actual start of this beef back in like 2009, I think this was, or 2010, because.
No, it started, I think, at the Slammy, not the Slammy, it's the Hall of Fame, where Rock inducted his dad and grandfather with the Marine Bash.
Okay.
And yeah, that's right.
And the fact that Rock was very unprofessional wrestling-wise at this show. He didn't stick around, he didn't shake hands. He was too busy being a movie star and not remembering his roots.
He went Hollywood, plain and
right.
Simple.
I love Triple H's joke that night where he says, "Oops, sorry, Dwayne fans." That's when that was taboo to say Dwayne, so.
Right, and that's mm-hmm. where this started. And John Cena has been right in his case. He has been consistent. He has never backed down from his opinion of Dwayne Johnson. He has stated that Dwayne Johnson left the business for Hollywood, and that what he does when he comes back is fake and phony. And there's actually a lot of wrestlers who believe that. In fact, if I may pull up that quote I sent you,
mm-hmm. okay.
Nikki, if I may?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because PW Insider got an anonymous source that basically stated the following. Let me just get it there. Whoops. I should have the history here.
I've got it right here if you want me to do it.
Yeah, the one from PW Insider.
Okay. And I quote, "Dwayne comes in to use WWE to get back the audience he lost during his Disney movies, which is fine, but he's been back over a year, and name one person he helped make a bigger star since then."
Yeah.
He's here for himself, he keeps to himself, and he keeps someone who's actually touring here all year. Okay, then what do we do with the rest of the year? Who's been made? Do you think he took any blame for Survivor Series not drawing? Of course not. But how do you feud with a guy on a TitanTron? Say anything you want about Hunter, Undertaker, etc. Still being in the top spots, but if they were needed to work on the road, they would, and they would still work their asses off as much as they needed to. Rock is only out for Rock, and the idea that he's here to better anything but his own wallet is the biggest work of this year.
To which
Man,
there
Yoshi,
is a rebuttal.
Yoshitatsu makes a great point.
I'm scared.
But, yeah, to which, though, there is a rebuttal from Lance Storm. If we could be serious for just a moment.
Lance Storm was quoted saying, "I got bumped off Mania 19 for Miller Lite Girls. Anyone bitching about getting bumped down the card for The Rock needs to shut up." Followed by by Mr. Hurricane, Shane Helms, saying, FTR, anybody in the WWE locker room that is bitching about The Rock's involvement in WrestleMania needs to stop being a douche. He's earned it.
But at the end of the day, I mean, it's fun and all that Rock is coming back, but what is the message that he is purveying to the locker room? Because it's my understanding the locker room was behind Cena 100% for his promo. Rock is essentially doing what Austin was doing for the last few years: show up, do his moves, and leave.
I was going to ask you, is that what your take would have been? Seeing what do you draw that same parallel?
Yes, I do.
To an extent, but Rock, because Rock is more successful in his movie career. Okay.
Well, agreed.
Exactly.
But the man pulled in 8 and 9 figure numbers for those Disney movies
that he made.
So I can't complain about that, but he's got to make up his mind. Do you want to be a movie star or do you want to be a wrestler? Because right now you want to be more of a movie star than a wrestler.
You know, it's kind of ironic that John Cena's promo was delivered on Monday, because he's actually going to be not even via satellite this weekend for the live events. Ontario, California tomorrow, Eugene, Oregon on Sunday, because he's going to be making an appearance at the Daytona 500. I think he's going to be the race starter.
I agree with Jason.
The Rock had all kinds of opportunities. He was hosting Saturday Night Live. He was the Scorpion King. He was in all kinds of movies as an active wrestler. I don't think there's been that demand for Cena. So when Cena himself has opportunities outside of wrestling, he's taken them. And this weekend he's missed a lot of events. But I don't think you can blame The Rock for being a bigger star.
I don't think he's missing a live event, is he?
Yeah, he's missing tomorrow, and he's missing Sunday.
And I guarantee you they will offer refunds for fans who were expecting to see him. Let me get another opinion in here. Line, gods, I don't even know what line I'm on. Hello.
Hello.
Force. You're somewhere around 8 or 9 or 10 on my list here.
Damn.
I'm going to say, if I'm too early, I can call back in later.
No, you're fine. And somebody just gave me the perfect segue. We had our Hall of Fame induction this week.
Yes, we did. Mr. Ron Simmons is getting in. And the very, very, very hot rumor is that Mr. JBL is going to induct.
And JBL is going to walk out with a beer in his hand, and a cigar in his mouth. I mean, he's going to come out to APA music. He's not even going to come out to JBL.
Of course not. Are you kidding? Please. Put it to you this way. And legitimately, Ron Simmons has earned it. He is, believe it or not, what they said about about him as being the first African-American heavyweight champion, he was a pioneer. Legit pioneer.
Yeah.
People forget, where he's been doing the APA stuff, and of course the damn bit for the last, decade seemingly. People forget just how quality of a wrestler he was.
And apparently he had some quality promo work. The problem is he can't use it because it was during his Nation days.
Right.
And that just might not be too terribly PC.
But also remember the fact that he was in a team with the natural Butch Reed called Doom, managed by one Teddy Long.
That's right.
And during the WCW days, that was a badass tag team.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was good.
Yeah. And now that he's inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, he has the distinction of being in at least two that I know of, because he's in the College Football Hall of Fame for his football days at Mickey.
Florida State University, thank you very much.
And
if I understand correctly, he's one of two or three Florida State players whose numbers have been retired.
I'm actually doing the tomahawk chop, the proper tomahawk chop. Screw you, Atlanta Braves.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
If I understand, Simmons has his number retired, and I think the only other one really was Burt Reynolds. Or did they retire? Did they retire?
I think they
did. There are three.
Juan Sanders?
Let me find it. Florida State Seminoles football.
Good old Turd Ferguson.
Let's see. I might even expand the table
retired
again.
Retired jerseys.
I have
here's another. Here's the list. There's a total of 9.
Okay.
Ron Simmons, Ron Sellers, Warwick Dunn,
right.
Cool.
Terrell Buckley, Fred Biletnikoff,
awesome.
Charlie Ward,
right.
Yeah.
Chris Wanky,
yeah.
Right.
Derek Brooks, and Dion.
They didn't retire Burt Reynolds' number?
They retired his toupee instead.
So. That's fight you back. 502, hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
Hello.
Hello.
Louisville, Kentucky. Does that not ring a bell?
Ah, Tyler.
Yes.
Now that I've got such a crowded table.
I hope it's a Japanese table.
And it's going to have to be a sturdy table for what I'm going to be segueing into. We're going to take a break from our WWE stuff for a few minutes. This was actually the surprise that I was saving for you guys. I'm bringing in a special guest tonight. A gentleman that I have known for a few years. He's out of Michigan. Long time wrestling fan. And such a big wrestling fan that he went out and started hustling together his own league. He is actually the promoter for the Michigan Championship Wrestling Association out of Detroit. Somebody hurt that dog. But I've run into him a lot from his shoot job. He works at Joe Louis Arena.
Nice.
He and a photographer buddy of his and I have attended several WWE events and a couple of TNA events together. We've hung out. We've been, you know, all kinds of trouble. And I'm not going to stretch too much more. I'm just waiting for the doofus to call.
I think I met him before, Nikki.
You'll know who I'm talking about here in a second, DJ.
Bret Hart signing in Salem.
Maybe?
Probably.
And TNA in Troy.
Yeah. And you weren't at the Cincinnati Gardens show, so.
No, I did not make it there.
Probably a good thing. We were going to blow up the Sunoco. No, I'll tell this story because this is a good segue into it. The Cincinnati Gardens is a very small venue and a perfect place for TNA to have a show. Well, what had happened was that I needed to use the facilities. I think he needed to use the facilities. We went over to a Sunoco across the street. They had restrooms clearly labeled, yet they would not allow us to use them. He also had some issues with the place itself because the aisles were very narrow. Why is this an issue for him? Because despite all these wonderful things that he's done, this young man is bound to a wheelchair.
No way.
So let me bring him in now, ladies and gentlemen. The Chief High Muckamuck of Michigan, of the Michigan Championship Wrestling Association, a dear friend of mine, and a man with Lincoln thumbs on his joystick, ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Bad Wheels. Good evening, sir.
Nikki frickin' Heyman.
There you go.
Welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, Johnny, and I'll just, you know, just point you around the board here. The thick Brooklyn accent is Jason Block.
Pleasure to meet you, sir.
Hey, what's going on, my friend?
We've got the one of the higher pitched voices over here. That's VRM.
Higher pitch.
Hey.
Our executive sound man, Jim Williams.
Pleasure to meet you. Congratulations on all you've done.
My pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Let's see. Our resident statistician, staff boy Josh Henniger.
Hello, hello. Hello, hello, sir.
Our resident legal member, DJ Peckins, who you probably met in Salem at the Bret Hart signing.
Yes, I was with Nikki. So, Johnny, good to talk to you again.
Hey, you too, my friend.
Let's see. From, TNA fan from Louisville, Mr. Tyler Brown.
What's up?
Hey, hey, Tyler.
Let's see. Who else have I got in here? Oh, yes, and all the way in the back of the line, Mr. Forth.
Not to sound like a corporate release, but I do wish you continued best luck with your business venture.
Well, thank you, thank you.
And it looks like, let me see if I've got anybody else who's looking to come in. I'll have somebody else coming in a minute, but what I want you to go into, Johnny, is I want you to explain to these guys your, I don't want to call it a handicap, but your arrangement.
Well, I was born with spina bifida. Basically, that means that my spine wasn't connected from the lower top of the body to the lower of the body. So I'm paralyzed from the waist down, wheelchair bound, 32 years old. Been that way since birth. Can't let it stop me, though.
That's awesome. You know what?
God bless you.
That, you know what? That is an attitude that I wish a lot more able-bodied people would have.
Agreed.
I appreciate this motion.
Let's see. Oh, yeah. And I got to bring in my weapons boy here. Mr. Brian Henniger, good evening.
Hit him with the bowling chair. And I got another one for you, BTR.
Uh-oh.
Don't panic. Now, so let me fill this in real quick. You started up MCWA 4 years ago?
We are 4 years into it. It started in October of 2008.
Okay, because I know you'd been talking about it on and off. I remember talking to you at a, what was it? There was the one show with all the TNA stars.
Prime Time Wrestling.
Yeah.
Good times.
So I know you were talking about it as far back as then. So, and you've actually had some pretty high end talent.
I've had the pleasure of working with a lot of high-end talent. Terry Reynolds has come through. Brutus the Barber Beefcake has come through. The one and only superstar Jamie D from TNA has come through. Melissa Coates has come through. She's on her way back to the Michigan Championship Wrestling Association in 2 weeks. On March 3rd, she's going to go for a belt against the current champion, Aurora Angel. She's been around. Rick Steiner, the Dogface Gremlin, Michigan's own. He's been through. That's just a few of a lot of guys. Petey Williams, Zach Allen. A lot of guys.
Wow.
That's some good stuff. That is some good stuff.
Impressive.
It's been quite a ride. No, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Those are the names that come to mind off the top of the head.
It was good to see an upstanding guy in the wrestling industry. I live in Tennessee, and there's an individual in particular by the name of, I'll say his name, Terry Landale, who gives all promoters like you a bad name. But the fact that you're a stand-up guy means a lot in this business.
Well, I appreciate that. That's what I try to do, man. The business has given a lot to me, and one of my goals in being here is to give back to it. I love it.
Well, that's the way to be.
Good mentality.
Now, since I know you don't let your situation get in the way of anything, but I'm going to ask a question. I'm sure somebody's going to object.
Uh-oh.
Do you feel that your confinement is an advantage in recruiting talent?
It is what it is, man. I try to, you know, everybody sees the handicap, but I try to live beyond it and you know, act beyond it. So, you know, I've got to be me, and if that means I'm a guy in a wheelchair, then I'm a guy in a wheelchair. But I certainly try not to be.
No, I that's not how I meant it. I'm just getting you back for you running over my foot.
I've done that a couple of times, and let me tell you something, Nikki Haymon. The next time you step into the MCWA, I'm going to roll with you again.
As soon as once the price is right, I already told you.
No,
this man's got Lincoln thumbs.
Do you need to borrow my chair, Nikki?
I refuse to swing a chair at a man in a chair.
You'd be the first to refuse that, then, in that case.
Oh, wow.
So I appreciate that.
No. I'd be more interested in a little bad wheel tipping.
Oh wow.
No, I have a question for you, since I've actually worked in the Jersey independent scene. How do you say, okay, look, I'm going to, you know, raise a couple thousand dollars to start up a show and start up a Fed?
What do you mean, how do I say it?
No, I mean, well, I'm just saying, how did you come up with the idea? Did you have a business plan, or did you just say, I'm going to do this?
You know, it was kind of a little bit of both. I do have a somewhat of a business background, and of course I have a wrestling background, so I kind of put two together and just kind of made it happen. A little prayer goes a long way as well. So just kind of made everything happen, and just kind of did the deal as we went along, and that's where I am today.
Now, Phyllison, on the show that you have been begging me to come attend.
First of all, Mickey Heyman, I want you to attend any show that I do.
Like I said, the price is right.
Because you're a hot commodity. You're the hottest. You're one of the hottest commodities on the indie scene, and that's true. So, hey, that's any show. But the next show we're doing, we've got two shows coming up. March 3rd, we're going to be at the Arc Hall in Wyandotte. It's located on 13th Street, down in Wyandotte, 4212 13th Street. That's going to be a loaded card. You're going to see, as part of that show, you're going to see Carlito make his Michigan debut. He's going to get in the ring and tussle with a young and up-and-comer that wants to make a name for himself at Carlito's expense. If you want to know who that is, you got to come to the show, but that's going to be quite a match. The other part of that night, as I was stating earlier, former OVW standout Melissa Coates will be back in Detroit. She's undefeated in Michigan. She's going to put her undefeated streak on the line against the MCWA Women's Bombshell Champion, Arella Angel. So either Melissa Coates walks out the new champion, or Arella Angel ends her winning streak. So that's going to be quite a night as well.
And you were going to do a night of extreme at the end of March, right?
That's not my show. That's one of my co-worker show. That's Extreme Intense Championship Wrestling, XICW. They run out of Warren, Michigan. They are actually doing an extreme show that comes up actually this Sunday, 2 days from now. They're running a show out in Warren at their venue. They've got Shane Douglas, Tommy Dreamer, Nunzio, Tracy Smothers, and I believe one or two others that are going to be highlighted on their show. Those guys are going to go, they're going to split off and go one-on-one. Kind of, they're invading XICW, and XICW is going to defend their territory, the Ritz, the Bar and Warren, in some contests that night. It's going to be a good night as well.
There you go. I might have
to check that out.
And if you run into, if you actually run into Shane or Tommy, tell them I said hey.
I will do that.
And tell Shane to hit me up. I want to talk. I've needed to talk to him since I ran into him at a IWC show in Pennsylvania last year. We had a very interesting conversation about the whole independent contractor thing in wrestling.
Oh, cool.
Don't worry, Nicky. I have his number. I can give it to you.
Ooh, yes, thank you.
I've had the pleasure of working with Shane quite a few times in Detroit. I'm looking forward to having him back in Detroit. And you never know, MCWA's doors are always open for everybody. So who knows, the MCWA could very well get franchised in the near future.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I will have to check that show out probably in a couple of days, because I'm located in Toledo, so it's not too much of a jaunt for me to go up to Detroit. I was actually just there a few hours ago at Cobo for the Autorama.
Okay.
So I was actually up in your neck of the woods.
You know, come on through. Come through next Saturday as well. Look for me, and we'll take care of you for sure.
Absolutely, I have to make sure my schedule's clear for that.
Absolutely, March 3rd, March 10th. Come to both, man. I'll take care of you both nights. Absolutely.
Cool stuff.
All right. So, Mr. Bad Wheels, I do appreciate your time here on our show.
Well, thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure and honor. Anytime I get a chance to hang out with Nikki Hayman, it's an opportunity I can't give up. That's for darn sure.
And that reminds me, actually, before you go, can you tell your side of the Cincinnati Garden story?
Yes.
Oh, boy. There you go. The radio show is about to get a little extreme right now, I guess. So, all right, well, one of my travels down into the great city of Cincinnati, love Ohio, was down there hanging out with some teenage friends of mine and decided that I was going to, before I got to the venue, was going to go use the restroom and get a little snack. I knew that the particular venue was probably going to have some expensive food. So I traveled to, I believe it was some kind of 7-Eleven of some sort.
It was a Sunoco.
There you go. It was a Sunoco. You can tell the story better than I could. Anyway, the Sunoco. So the Sunoco doesn't have handicapped bathrooms, so was forced to kind of hold it, if I'm allowed to say that on the radio.
A little extra.
So I want to give a big old shout out to the Cincinnati Sunoco. I love you, and I'll be back soon.
Liar.
I probably won't be back anytime soon. I love Cincinnati, love the gardens. That was an awesome time. Like I said, I've had the pleasure of befriending a few of the local TNA stars that got their start in Michigan. So it was meant to be a good night. It was a good night.
It was.
But of course, the entire company of Sunoco is they're an epic fail.
There goes another sponsor.
you of Pinocchio are idiots.
Well, there you go. Johnny, do you have like a website or anything for the
I do. Absolutely. My website is mcwaonline.weebly. That's W-E-E-B as in boy, L-Y.com. mcwaonline.weebly.com. On that website, you can find most of our past events are listed. You've got... the superstar page. You got the YouTube link, the MySpace link. You've got a video page, a contact page. All your MCWA needs are on that site. So guys, go check that site out. It's a work in progress. It's growing every day as is MCWA. So go check that website out. If you're in Michigan, if you're in the surrounding areas, come check us out. And, you know, just in general, I kind of want to just throw it out there that you know if wherever you're listening at this point. You know, go out and support your independent wrestling. You know, that's these guys and girls have big dreams, and you know, as we've seen, a lot of the guys go, the guys and girls go far, and it starts at this level, and it's a heck of a level. It's a heck of a lot of fun. If you've not seen one of the shows, you're missing out. So whether you're in Michigan or Ohio or wherever you're at, go to your show. Support your local independent wrestling. It'll be well worth your money.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Amen to that.
So, Johnny, absolutely. Thank you so much, and have a blast at the shows, and good luck with your continued venture. You keep me posted.
Well, thank you, guys. It was an honor to be here, and, you know, if you guys are ever in Michigan, you know, look me up and come hang out. I'd love to talk to you guys again sometime.
You got it.
Absolutely.
Awesome, guys. Thanks again.
Thanks for the time.
Alrighty.
Johnny Badwheels, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Nice guy. Great, inspirational dude. Very nice.
Insane.
He is a lot of fun to hang out with. I've been at several shows with him and a buddy of his who is aspiring to be a photographer in the wrestling business. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, you'd think the batteries were the batteries for his wheelchair were plugged into him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's all energy all the time.
Like Brian was saying when he was briefly talked with Johnny, you see so many promoters who are more experienced than Johnny, who don't know their backside from a hole in the ground and have the wrong attitude. This guy Johnny, he's got a great attitude. He doesn't let what cards were dealt to him stop him. He perseveres, and that's a beautiful thing.
And you know, like I said, DJ, if you get a chance, you know. Definitely enjoy his shows, Stat Boy, if you're still here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I forget where you're at this point.
It's just northwest of Dayton, so that's quite a drive to get there.
So you straight shot up 75. It's probably about 3.5 hours, yeah.
Mm.
So, but if you you ever have an open weekend and you can swing it, definitely go catch a show. Go shake his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him I sent you.
Hopefully he won't run over your foot because you said that Nikki sent you.
Yeah, that would be bad.
That might screw your week up.
Uh-oh.
Well, won't be bad either. I'll tell you.
May I have your attention, please?
Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
I have just received an email from the anonymous general manager on my Gizmondo.
How in the hell do you keep... Do you have a list?
He's got a list.
Kind of. I just do research, and I'm trying to find the most obscure device that received email.
I would go with my Franklin Rocket myself.
I'd be the game.com from Tiger Electronics, but that's just me anyway.
Yeah.
Well, they've already used that.
Oh, that's right.
Even though the Gizmondo didn't exist, it was still better than this one N-Gage a friend of mine had. That thing was terrible.
Oh, yes, the N-Gage, right. So what does the GM have to say?
Let's see. I'm not going to repeat those first two lines because he just called me a racist for making fun of Johnny Badwheels.
What?
Oh, man. We may be leaving BTR at just the right moment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what else have we got here? You guys probably, wrestling always needs a little bit of good news, especially since WWE hasn't had too much thanks to the weak ratings for the SmackDown Live and the mixed numbers fourth quarter regarding their pay-per-views. Please make sure to touch on that during your second half. Before we piss anybody else off, you might want to sell some soap.
I like soap.
Okay, gentlemen, we're going to...
It makes me smell good.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a short time out here. Everybody sit back and relax, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW 83 Network.
Entertainment news, exclusive interviews, and thought-provoking discussion on pop culture and reality TV. Listen live every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, to Pop to Reality, where pop culture meets reality TV. Hosted by Jeff Weiss and Mark Roberts. Pop to Reality on Blog Talk Radio.
Roll the tape on this.
I am indeed ready for such an occasion.
Actually going to be a very boring show this week, but wait.
How you doing tonight, Al?
Doing good. Nice selection of music there, and I am wearing pants.
Okay.
Hey! All right, that's a bonus.
We'll play Cafe, not Play Mania. Play Mania was a GSN show.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. Play Mania's running wild.
Exactly right.
Oh, jeez. Mute Mama Seidelman.
It's a dance number. Yeah, we get it.
We have hit recap.
Can you hear me?
Okay, there we go. I keep on hearing this noise in the background.
Down.
Yeah.
This is going to be more fun than a Chaz Bono sex change.
You win the internet, sir! You win the internet!
And actually, I'm interested in seeing that matchup today with him and Carl, because I think Carl, with all due respect, is overrated.
Speaking of him, Carl is on the air. Carl, how are you doing?
You can all kiss my ass. Overrated, huh, Klaus? Anyway.
No, that's a thing. That's a thing, actually.
Stop. One more time.
Look, the mayonnaise is coming through the bun.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's Bowser.
Well, be honest, I'm sure she's got her feet up somewhere saluting us with her pickles and ice cream going, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand this love affair with Alabama.
Oh, wow.
The noodles. Chris likes you, Benoodles.
Yeah, you're a good little girl. Yes, don't fight.
Good
boy.
Talk about Jim Turner. Let's talk about Ryan Howard. How about that?
Howard, you can't say because he's fat.
Because if the WWE doesn't want him, fine, you know?
And Justin Tuck.
Oh, Justin. Mother. Oh, come
Mother
on.
Tucker. Mother Tucker. Mother Tucker. We have a great show for you tonight, as if I'd say otherwise.
Thanks for joining us, and until next time, stay sporty.
This is going to be like a good championship boxing match. You're not going to see a lot of hits, but the hits that you'll see are going to be good.
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Williamsware is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamsware.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamsware.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Hi, I'm Chris Clark, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Yeah, like that joke hasn't been done 50 million times already.
Has been paid for by the New World Order.
Fuck you, BTR! If you're dumb enough to spend thousands of dollars on piss-poor netcasting services, then you're a big enough schmuck to stay with Blog Talk Radio. Technical issue. Lack of promotion. Server overload. If you think hosting on BTR is a bargain, you can kiss my ass. It's our belief that long-term premium hosts are such stupid motherfuckers that they'll fall for BTR's BS promises. Guarantee. If you find a less expensive alternative, they'll say, shove it up your ugly ass. You heard me, prick. Shove it up your ugly ass. We tried to get a better deal from BTR, and they told us to fuck off. That's right, fuck off. Because with BTR, you're fucked 6 ways from Sunday. In church and out. Take a hike from Blog Talk Radio, the home of challenge shitting. That's right, challenge shitting. How does it work? If you can take a dump off the side of their building and have your feces land in a bucket 10 stories below, you'll get premium services for free. Don't wait, don't delay. Don't fuck with BTR. Fuck BTR, the home of the meanest, stingiest sons of bitches in all of internet radio. Guaranteed.
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
Wow!
Damn!
It's only one word!
It's a shame it's Oscars of Tomorrow, because, Jim, you deserve one for that, buddy.
Oh, my God, that was beautiful.
Jim Williams, I am if ever... speechless.
If it was the only other thing that would have been as good as putting it around an NWO message would have been using CM Punk saying pipe bomb. And yes. That was one of the best.
Oh, What?
Big Bill Hells lives forever, my friends.
You know, I noticed a bit of anger.
Really? Don't sugarcoat it. Jim, tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, wow.
I need to see a therapist about that. I'm sorry.
Are we into the second half, or that was the only selling of soap?
That's about all we're going to do for selling of soap, because... That was just the first part of our great big middle finger to BTR.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of middle fingers, Undertaker gave one to Triple H Monday night, which we really haven't covered yet.
Yes.
That's true. And it was just so wonderfully placed. And besides, he wanted to vent because he was just sick of the crowd.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Yeah. Because they can, we talked about this, Mickey.
Yes, we have, and I want to make sure a couple other people get to talk about this, too.
Yeah, I know, I'm sorry. I'll shut up now.
Okay.
Sorry.
But just the fact that Taker played the HBK card on Hunter. And, let's see, called him a coward, played the HBK card... three or four different ways, come to think of it.
Now, did he pull a Batman gambit on him or not? I'm not up on my terms, but...
No, that's not a Batman gambit. Forth, you were going to say something?
I was going to say, I noticed that comparing Triple H to Shawn Michaels is about the same as calling Marty McFly chicken. He's not going to think anymore. He's going to act on impulse.
If you need a term, Brian, this is a berserk button.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I was actually waiting for Undertaker to take the next step and say, move up from Shawn Michaels and say, the reason you don't want to face me is because Stephanie has your balls in a jar on top of her fridge, but...
No, because CM Punk would call gimmick infringement.
True.
Besides, the only Stephanie reference I'm hoping for is a revisit of Where to, Stephanie?
Ha Very good.
Ooh. Buckle up, Teddy.
Okay, that's an interesting what if. If Hunter had turned Taker down again, do you think they would have tried the Where to, Stephanie thing?
I don't know if they would have done it exactly like that, but we definitely would have seen him make some sort of an attempt. Even if it's something as simple as approaching her and basically just kind of talking in an intimidating tone,
Go ahead.
I was going to say they definitely would have, in one way or another, brought Steph into this.
I don't know how intimidating Undertaker could be in his Michelle McCool hoodie.
They don't want to show that off.
Well, now the thing is, and also Stephanie McMahon has made it very clear she is wanting to stay off television for good. So I don't think they would have talked her into it.
Well, she's got three other things to take care of outside of the company, and that's all her daughters. And the fact that she gets to taunt her dear husband that he just can't seem to sire a proper heir.
I was expecting Taker to do that on Monday.
That would have been another. That would have been another one. Another cheap
shot.
That
would have been. Triple H says, "Screw it, we're doing it right now." We'll do it live.
But here's another little piece of fallout about this. Apparently, they did a telephone interview with Shawn Michaels, Jason, you listened to it, so I'm gonna put you on the spot here.
Okay. I think you need a radio jingle for this one.
Yes, give me one moment.
Okay.
East Coast
affiliate, done.
WORK Work Radio.
It's a work, brother.
Yes, thank you. Because they basically asked Sean about what the what he thought about the challenge and all that stuff. And then they went into asking multiple times about if Triple H beats The Undertaker, is he better than you? And he asked it once, it's like, it's not about me. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's not about Shawn Michaels. It's about, Undertaker, Triple H. So after about the third or fourth time he asked it, he got a little testy. He says, every time I just walk into the building, the spotlight is on me. So basically, he was like, shut the fuck up and leave me alone.
What are you looking at?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So did anybody else listen to this? It was on .com.
I have not.
Okay, I haven't either. I just wanted to know. So, Jason, just how was he that upset?
No. I mean, he started to get a little... The word I would use is testy.
Okay.
Testy.
Okay.
Okay. But don't be shocked if they bring that into the issue over the next 5 weeks.
I have a feeling Mr. Heartbreak Kid is not quite done with this. I don't think he'll show up this coming Monday, because everybody's going to be too busy going, oh my God, The Rock actually showed up.
Well, I know for a fact I think he's showing up when they come to Philadelphia in a couple of weeks, because they keep hyping and changing the promo to include Shawn now, so...
Okay.
Well, I just have one question for you. What was the reaction, because I heard it online, on TV, to Hell in a Cell?
That got a very positive reaction. That was a holy shit reaction.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead, Bjorn.
I don't know what it was actually like in the arena, but it sounded like that the second after Hunter said hell, it just exploded automatically without even having to finish the rest of the name.
Yeah, it was a holy shit moment. It really was. And granted, some of our crowd didn't deserve it for the what chance on the dead man. You just don't do that.
I would have loved it if he broke out of character and just said that one famous line of his in response to what?
Say what if you sleep with your sister?
Yes. Or have R-Truth pop up and say, you people are going to quit with that what?
And he said, no, you're supposed to what me?
Yeah.
I'm going to what me? Actually, speaking of R-Truth, they've got him. They apparently he's subbing for Evan Bourne with Kofi in a makeshift tag team these past couple of shows.
Oh, cue the New Nation comment.
But Christian's on SmackDown. Damn, nobody got that.
I do.
Okay. But yeah, we got to see Kofi and Truth against Primo and Epico, and then they did on SmackDown. They tagged against Swagger and Ziggler. It's a nice little cover, but I wonder what that means for Evan Bourne, or if this is just something to fill in the blanks till we get past Mania.
Hmm.
Well, you also have to think what usually happens right after Mania.
That's true. The
talent cuts.
Yes,
ring
house
cleaning.
And the smoke is being is very strong on this one.
Mm-hmm. And there's a few other people I would put on the checklist. I honestly don't know if they're going to keep guys like Curt Hawkins, Tyler Rex,
JTG.
JTG is on the bubble.
I would also say Funkasaurus, Brodus Clay. I wouldn't be surprised if he went.
No.
No.
It
depends on if he's got to get his work rate up is the only thing, and that.
Yeah, because Vince doesn't like his work rates.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting, knowing some of the other wrestlers who are on TV who are probably at a worse work rate than Big Bad Brodus.
Yeah.
But
that said, speaking of Funkasaurus, he in live results from the Staples Center event, he was actually in a match.
Oh.
Yeah, and he squashed David Otunga.
Shucks, that should be on TV. Oh no, wait. They're having too much fun letting him Tebow and pose.
Somebody call my mama.
Indeed.
Well, let's see. Speaking of bad news, as our esteemed general manager hinted towards, fourth quarter numbers are out. And it ain't pretty.
Mm-mm.
The fourth quarter pay-per-view numbers. Hell in a Cell 2011 was just under 200,000 buys, down from last year. Vengeance, down to 120,000 buys. We're dropping into December to disaster territory here. Survivor Series was the only pay-per-view that was actually up at 281,000 buys, and TLC holding steady at about 179,000.
Gee, I wonder why Survivor Series is actually up compared to the others. Oh, yeah, that's right. They had The Rock there.
Mm-hmm.
But even with The Rock and Cena, they couldn't even break 300,000.
Mm-hmm. True. So not a true win, per se.
Well, I mean, look at the way they booked Cena in this, in that phase.
Well, yeah, he didn't need The Rock. This was just, you know, unfortunately, I think this was a cheap, you know, I hate to say it, cheap promo. You know, just absolutely, you know, just quick way to get a cheap pop. And speaking of cheap pops, Mr. Seidelman, your mic is unmuted. Speak up.
It's great to be back here for the final BTR show right here on the internet. Yeah.
Yeah, that was cheap.
Yeah.
Somebody else wants to make a cheap pop appearance as well. Oh, Sparky!
I don't have that button.
Got
Hang
it.
On. Oh, this button.
Ah.
And as a matter of fact, I'm going to add a little bit to the table. Hey, Typho, is that you?
Yep, just another very happy, content, satisfied Blog Talk Radio member here.
Welcome to the fraternity.
You mean you don't exist?
No, I know better, Typho.
By the way, let me tell you a little story here. About February of last year, Blog Talk Radio, up to their little premium status, killing Tuesday Night Typho's one-hour format down to 30 minutes. Which I've suffered in for the last year and however the hell long it's been. So, Blog Talk Radio, fuck you.
I do want to say, don't worry, Typho, when I do my basic shtick of making fun of Nancy Grace on your show, I'll throw a few down Blog Talk Radio's way.
I'm still paying my $40 a month for WrestleCraft Sports Digest.
Sucker.
I have never given Blog Talk Radio a dime. I will never give them a dime. My show survives and thrives no matter what they do to me. Too powerful.
And BTR just rants about it.
You people are fools!
You had to keep him down in there somehow, huh?
That is the perfect mascot for BTR when you really think about it.
That's true.
You know what?
Blog Talk Radio would crumble if I left. Crumble to the ground.
I just realized something. We have done everything that BTR... Actually, no, that's probably saved the last minute of the show.
Yeah.
I want to ask...
You know where I'm going with that, right, Nikki?
I think so. What were you going to say, Forth?
I just want to say, if that woman, if that British voice at the beginning of the Blog Talk Radio call is a real person, if you ever get the chance to meet her, just do what Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force would do. Take out the middle finger, shove it in her face, tell her to sit and spin.
No.
British Blog Talk Radio. Stupid British Blog Talk Radio, bitch. You don't tell me when I can do what. I tell you.
That's well, how
you get
got
it. Well, here's
you
the
keep
thing.
Keep the pimp hand strong.
I actually know the person who does the voice of Blog Talk Radio.
No, you don't.
Well, let her
yes,
know
I do.
Typo tells her what to do. She doesn't tell me what to do.
Well,
does she have a date for tomorrow evening?
No. By the way, I asked her about, you know, she knows about the sit and spin, and it doesn't matter. She enjoys that type of thing anyways.
Oh, well.
No. I was going to use Aqua Team and Hunger Force as well, but no, I was going to be at least a little more gentle about it. I hope that you're watching because I'm doing this as hard as I can.
Insert by pony kick here.
Speaking of the, there's one piece of the financials that we really need to talk about.
Let's see.
The WWE Films division.
That's not going to be pretty either. Let me see if I've got that.
No, it's actually the word piece of news for WWE Films. $21 million down the river.
Ouch. As McMahon keeps announcing his new business model that he thinks this one's going to work, his fourth or fifth business model for the WWE Films division, this one's going to be the one that works.
Okay, darn, and I thought the chaperone was a smash hit.
Yeah. Well,
$21 million in net revenue, that's...
Well, it does work. He just presses a button and...
Yo, Hopper comes back. That'd regain that money. Bring T.L. Hopper back. Watch the ratings and money fly in.
Exactly.
By the way, just a second. Brian, do you know what Tony Anthony's doing nowadays?
Who?
Cleaning toilets.
Tony Anthony's the guy who played T.L. Hopper. He was big at Smoky Mountain as the Dirty White Boy.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. He have his own line of crack showing jeans and wife beaters these days.
Oh,
if you do want to talk about the financials, though, there was one part of the conference call that I thought interesting, is that they're pushed back the date. Of course, we knew this ahead of time. They pushed back the debut date for the WWE Network from April 1st to the fall because they said they want to get it right when they start. I would be a little concerned because they've been in the planning stages for a long time. They're partnered up with NBC Universal / Comcast for Raw on USA, for SmackDown on Sci-Fi, so they have all their television on one entity, yet Comcast recently announced this past week that they're starting up new channels with Irvin Magic Johnson's having one. I think
oh
it's called
God,
Fire.
God.
There's one with P. Diddy. He's doing like a social... media-inspired network powered by social media. I don't know how that's going to go, but WWE gets a hold of that. Look out with their Twitter obsession. And then there's another type of network that's launching, too. So those are three upstart networks under the NBC Universal umbrella. And then you have Vince McMahon, who's friends with Dick Ebersol, who has all of his on-air media on one platform, which is NBC Universal. And they couldn't get this April 1st date ratcheted up, and they're still searching for a television partner. So I think that would be a great concern.
I take cover, Bowery.
At this point, you know, at least Vince has done a very good job of covering it. Whoever is in their social media department is at least stepping up. The YouTube channel is actually a pretty solid substitute for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Vince is tight with Dick Ebersol, and is Bonnie Hammer still in there, or am I mixing her up with another network?
Bonnie Hammer, I believe, is the president of USA.
Mm-hmm.
And they were still reasonably friends.
They are very tight.
Oh, and also, Ebersol is no longer in charge. Somebody else is running NBC Sports.
Right.
Well, mainly because they're launching their own sports channel. Or is that already off the ground?
That might be.
And failing miserably.
Yeah, they repackaged Versus as NBC Sports. CBS fall into the same fate as well, even with Jim Rome.
What's up?
It's already better than ESPN, though.
Ouch.
Trash phone.
But the question is...
Yeah, the Booyah Network.
I mean, again, it all comes down to this. And again, I think we're still talking about sort of the same issues that has been going on for the last 2 years. Pay-per-view prices are very high. There's too many pay-per-views. You know, and when you, when at least on DirecTV, now that I have HD, I have, do you think you, we should pay $55 a month to see a pay-per-view?
No,
the fact that they don't bother promoting more than a couple matches, and then they just start throwing stuff on the show.
Well, the
exactly.
Yeah, I will see that, Jason, and I'll raise you UFC, because their distribution model is almost entirely pay-per-view, and they've been very successful on their pay-per-views. So, and their pay-per-view prices are comparable to that of the WWE, so I don't think it's the prices. I think it's just the promotion.
And Rob,
go back to
most UFC pay-per-views actually are built up, and you have a reason to say, yeah, I'm going to throw my money down and see that, because I've been waiting to see that. I know a pay-per-view like Over the Limit or something, they're going to give you a main event you've seen 10 times and say, hey, pay another $50 to see this match you saw on Raw 2 weeks ago.
Well, the other thing
that
with UFC...
won't put much effort into.
The other thing with UFC is they get a hell of a lot more promotion mainstream than WWE will get. I mean, ESPN will hype them, even though they're not big on UFC per se. They'll get mainstream publicity that the WWE can only get once a year at WrestleMania.
Right.
Going back to Typo's point, looking at the Elimination Chamber, I mean, I enjoyed that whole Johnny Laurinaitis segment, but that's something that belongs on Raw or SmackDown. And to have Jack Swagger and Justin Gabriel in a match based on cheese and catering, that's silly, and the match itself is something that you would see on Superstars or NXT for free. So why would you pay
$50 for that, and why would you pay $300 for the seats on that? Let's see. I've got some other calls coming in here. Give me a second here.
Party line
631. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Who's this?
My name is James.
Hey, James. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I haven't been watching much WWE. Just what's been going on with the whole John Cena, Rock, and Undertaker thing.
Okay.
And what do you want to know?
I've just been, what's going on with the Undertaker and Triple H? I haven't been able to catch the last few shows.
Oh, it's essentially that Taker has been demanding Triple H face him again at WrestleMania, and Hunter's been turning him down because he feels that he's moved on. And he doesn't want to retire the Undertaker, is what he feels he'll do if he has to face him again at Mania. Taker pretty much goaded him into it, saying, well, you know, go ahead and walk away. We already know you, you know, you're not as good as Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
So that's been set up, and in fact, Hunter raised the stakes, said, fine, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. And at Mania, it's going to be Hell in a Cell.
Oh, so they are going to have a match?
Yes, mm-hmm. They are. It
yes,
was confirmed
sir.
On Monday. I was there in person. I can confirm that for you.
Oh, all right. I can't wait for that.
And with John Cena and The Rock, John Cena cut a promo this week basically saying that Rock is not loyal to the WWE, that he's been there for the whole time, and that Rock, he's basically a fake. And that Rock is going to respond to John Cena this coming Monday.
Well, I kind of agree with Cena in that sense where The Rock hasn't been there. But I kind of don't agree with that because The Rock was there for, 20-some-odd years.
Or maybe about 8 years, actually.
8 to 10. Like from 96 to... 2006.
You could go back to about 94. If you count his time in Memphis as Flex Cavana, but that's just me.
Yeah, in defense of James, he has been around, if you want to say he's been around the wrestling industry that long because of his father and grandfather. We've seen the pictures and the video packages of him backstage shaking hands with Ric Flair. But sure. James, I want to ask you a question. Now that we caught you up to speed, and you know basically the two main matches of WrestleMania are going to be John Cena versus The Rock and The Undertaker versus Triple H.
Yeah.
But I presume to be a younger fan, which match are you looking forward to the most out of those two? Or is it something other than that?
I'm looking forward to The Undertaker Triple H.
why do you say Undertaker Triple H? What's your reasoning for that?
Every year I wait for the Undertaker to come back, and I just love the Undertaker. I'm a diehard Undertaker fan.
Outstanding.
Oh, good man. Awesome.
And also, you also do know that the two championship matches has been set up as well.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay. And which two of those matches are you looking forward to?
I heard Christian came back. Is that true?
He showed up at the pay-per-view, but he's not back in action just yet. He might be in a multi-man match, not necessarily Money in the Bank. They're doing. He might be part of an angle with John Laurinaitis and Teddy Long.
I don't like Laurinaitis. I don't like that guy.
Join the club.
Welcome aboard. His job.
Why would the youth of America not like a guy like me, Mr. Excitement?
Listen, clown shoes.
Shut up, man.
Wait,
well,
you got anything else, James?
No, not really. Thank you.
No, thanks, James.
Well, thank
you for calling.
I keep listening.
All right, have a good night.
You too.
Nice
to Now, let's see. I actually have another one from that same area code. I don't know if you called twice or what. This is another 631. Hello?
Hi, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Hi.
Who are we talking to?
My name is Thomas.
Okay, Thomas. Good evening.
Well, got a couple of questions for you and a couple of views on my standpoint. First of all, the argument about who should run both Raw and SmackDown, who do you think should properly run Raw and SmackDown? John Laurinaitis or Teddy Long?
None of the above. Reanimate the corpse of Jack Tunney.
Okay, well, let's get a tad serious here. Are you looking at it from a fan's perspective, or are you looking at it from the business perspective?
Both.
I think from a fan's perspective, I'd want Teddy Long because I'm a big Teddy Long fan. I look at it from both because but business, I think John Laurinaitis, everyone hates him, so you got a ready-made heel right there.
Yeah, and the heel authority figure, despite the fact that it's the heel, but it always seems to produce the better feud.
I don't know. I don't know how long you've been listening to the program in the past, but we've touched on this in the last few weeks about how the Laurinaitis character has taken shape and him becoming not a mega heel, but any time you see his face, you hear his voice, he automatically gets heat. He automatically, taps into the psyche of the fans. And ultimately, I think you can't get rid of that character at WrestleMania. I just see no way that Teddy Long's side, at this point, is going to win at WrestleMania, because I don't think the E and the powers that be want to quell or even get rid of the Johnny Ace character.
And I'll throw in with this as well. Yes, from a fan perspective, Teddy Long is extremely fair. Granted, he's a little more biased towards the faces, but sometimes the heels ask for a lot of what they get. Teddy has also been the SmackDown general manager since late 2004. So that is the longest tenure of any general manager. And
well, he was briefly off of SmackDown during Vicky's time in 2008.
Granted, but it was a vacation at best. Johnny is getting the big crowd reactions, and people get it. He is that one irritating, ass-kissing middle manager that does not know how to do his job, but has everybody's support because they think he can do it. I've worked with managers like this.
Who hasn't?
So this is the guy you want to punch in the mouth, and the crowd reaction is amazing. And I think that, down the line we're gonna have Johnny Clown Shoes running everything. But as a fan,
I go for Tom. Bill Lumberg in a wrestling ring.
Have we answered your question, Thomas?
Yes. Well, now, the big question, which is probably on almost every single person's mind ever since last month, since this past Monday, do you think the streak is over this year? Do you think it's done and over with? This is it. It's gonna end this year.
No.
Does Tomko give you beats?
Oh, goodness. In all honesty, I don't think so, because I still think there are a few big mega money matches at WrestleMania that are left with The Undertaker, namely that elephant in the room, John Cena. If the rumors are true and the Cena-Rock thing is going to be spread out over a three-match series where they have a return match next year at WrestleMania and then maybe one in between at SummerSlam, we're looking at maybe 2 years away for a potential Undertaker-John Cena match, and that might be The Undertaker's last match, his retirement match, so to speak. I don't know if he can hold out that long. I don't know if his body can take, even if he just comes back at WrestleMania for the next 2 years, that's still 2 years from now. A lot of things can happen. So I think the streak continues at least for two more years. You have one match next year in the interim, and then the big John Cena Undertaker match. That would be huge, I think, in 2 years at WrestleMania 30.
I would hope that the interim match, since he's facing Hunter this time, I would hope that they could twist Jericho's arm into coming around. We have never had a good Undertaker Jericho match. They've had a throwaway match on SmackDown, but give these guys 20 minutes. I would just, oh my God, the story that they would tell.
I'm 100% behind that, Nikki, because it reminds me a little bit, the promos that they could do would rival and probably go beyond the Shawn Michaels Jericho from the summer of
2008.
It was 2008. Yes.
Yeah, 2008. Because I was in Detroit for, trust me when I tell you, I'm not hurt. And one of the latter promos from the Cincinnati show, the actual.
I was at the Cincinnati one.
Yeah, the actual 800th or 900th show. And they said, oh my God, we're actually at this milestone. We're going to have a 3-hour special. Should have had it on the day. Anyway.
Weren't you at SummerSlam too, in Indy?
Yes, I was there when Edge went to hell.
I will say this. I think Taker is done after this WrestleMania. I think Taker is done. He's pretty much running on pins right now. In legs. He's creamy, except he's about a foot and a half tall.
Yeah.
When it comes to leg surgeries and all that, and arm surgeries.
Well, he says he's good, but I just, you know, I don't know.
I tend to agree with that, Rob.
Hey, it's the Chief High Muckamuck.
Hey, Carl Chenier, everybody.
But
yeah,
but
surgeries and injuries he's had over the last 2 years, especially, yeah.
And then, plus, you can, you know, superhuman, supernatural, what have you, he's a human being. To put his body through what he's done the last couple of years at WrestleMania, and to expect him to come up with a big-time match even this year again, you know, it would be a little foolish, I think. That being said, the streak's not going to end.
No, it's not. I mean, You could go back the last six WrestleManias, and they've all been very good matches. Okay, Undertaker Batista 23
should have main evented that pay per view, that Mania, by the way.
Yes, Undertaker Edge at 24.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Undertaker
Michaels.
Shawn Michaels 1 and 2, which are wrestling classics.
Mm-hmm.
In both,
and at least two main evented 26.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which was just insane. And then you had Undertaker Triple H 2, excuse me, at WrestleMania 27.
Mm-hmm.
So the last 5 years, Undertaker has, you know, rested for his body for that one match. And the fact that they are going and putting it in Hell in a Cell just makes it, it just puts it up at a level that I don't know if they could even hit. I don't know.
Oh, well, I know they can.
Well,
I'm not trying to be a smart ass.
Hell because it's... Sorry, Jim.
No, go ahead.
It's Hell in a Cell because it's going to be Taker's swan song, and these two are Hell in a Cell.
Yes.
Triple H and The Undertaker are Hell in a Cell.
And with this, I hope they get some permission to bleed.
Oh, what? They're not going to call out the Florida Athletics and stop the match. He's cut.
No, if this was Kentucky, they would have to stop the match. Well, no, Backlash of Six. Anyway,
No, actually, pre-PG era. So, yeah, I don't think they will stop the match because this is your... John Cena and The Rock is going to be your highlight match. This is going to be your... This is going to be the more memorable match, in my opinion.
Do they
close
with
it?
I agree.
It's going to be the main event, sadly.
Do they close with it? Cena Rock. I would rather see it end with Cena Rock or Punk Jericho, but I don't know if I'm going to get that.
It is going to end with Cena Rock.
It's a foregone conclusion.
WrestleMania 25 didn't end with Undertaker and HBK, and that was wrong. And WrestleMania, what was it, 18 or 19, didn't end with Hogan Rock. So the matches that are after that that didn't get the crowd reaction, they're going to be, if Rock and Cena goes on first, the crowd's going to be spent for the main event, whatever it is. So
right. So have we covered it all for you, Thomas?
Last thing. What is with Daniel Bryan? He wins almost every single match, and do you think this is going to be it? He's going to lose his championship, and what match are you most looking forward to at your standpoint at WrestleMania?
Ooh. This is deliberate. They're building Daniel Bryan because if you saw him walk in street clothes, I bet you that the Madison Square Garden security wouldn't have let him in either. They're building him up because you realize Sheamus is practically a head and a half taller than him, outweighs him by a good 40 or 50 pounds. And while Bryan has an advantage with his leverage moveset, Sheamus only has to hit him a few times to keep him down. So, while I am looking forward to that match, for me, it's a coin flip between Undertaker, Triple H, and Punk Jericho.
You guys want to go around the room and do our most look forward to match?
Yeah, let me go through the line here. Jason, we'll start with you.
I will agree with you. It's Undertaker, Triple H, and Punk Jericho. Yes.
VRM?
Yeah, it's got to be. I'm leaning more towards the Hell in a Cell, though. I want to see how they construct this thing.
That's a logistics thing I really want to get into here in a few minutes. Jim?
Yeah, well, I mean, allegedly they might just have... Well, considering it's an outdoor structure, that's going to be a conundrum in and of itself. Like, have the scaffolding around where they have the fireworks or whatnot. But anyway, Hell in a Cell first and foremost, and I'm with you. Seeing CM Punk defend the championship against Jericho in what, to wrestling fans, is a dream match in many respects. Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Statboy?
I must agree with you guys. I really got nothing else to say.
DJ?
I'm looking forward to Kid Rock's 15-minute set, a.k.a. the Divas Battle Royal.
Out!
You just want to get a 15-minute...
Pull your pants up and get away from the student union there, DJ.
How did you know I had my pants down?
Oh, gross.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No,
that's
I'll let the boss man know what the hell's going on.
If I had to pick a most anticipated match, it would be Cena Rock, just for what they're going to do with the finish. I think last year's finish in the Cena Miz was a letdown where Rock had involvement. I thought there was going to be something more. I know. I'd just like to see everything be tied in this match. I'm looking forward to see what they do with the finish.
There you go. Brian?
One of the most anticipated match to WrestleMania.
What match most interests you at this point?
Hunter and Undertaker, Hell in the Cell. Two reasons. A, are they gonna top WrestleMania 27? And B, how are they gonna pull off Hell in a Cell outdoors?
It'd be interesting.
There are two ways they can do it. One of them is they're gonna have a big canopy over ring that's in case Miami gets a torrential downpour. So they'll have the ring covered. They'll have the cage ready. However, what I've talked about with everybody, and I think it'd be the coolest thing, is that you hire a helicopter to fly in the cage, and then you have a whole bunch of your grunt guys down there to stabilize the cage and have it set. That would look incredibly awesome, and it would be worth the 60 gears you would have to pay in order to get it done. And when you see it on screen, you'd be thinking, holy crap.
Oh my goodness.
Bring it like an Apache helicopter.
Yeah.
Well, that is
what a WrestleMania would look like.
But this begs the question. There's one small fly in that ointment, though. How can they get it inside the canopy?
Yeah, because they have to have that lighting truss up for the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a great idea. It's just it's a tough. It's just it would be.
It's a logistical nightmare.
Oh, big time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's get back to this. Typo.
Too much could go wrong. Yeah.
I would go with. I am looking forward to Rock Cena. I'm very interested in exactly how they're going to construct that match and. Now, I have a feeling somehow they're going to find a way to make them both look good in the end, but the finish will be interesting, I think. A lot more so if it doesn't end up being like a three-match series like the rumor, and we'll have to see. But Hell in a Cell also, yes, but I think I'd put Rock Cena a little bit above it at this moment, at least.
Okay. Fourth?
I would say The Undertaker versus Triple H, because The Undertaker's undefeated streak is one of the most storied elements in WrestleMania. It's right up there with Hogan slamming Andre. But I will also say, as a WrestleCraft fan, I do want to see just what will be the low light of the show as well.
That'll be me not playing. The low light, of course, will be everybody filling out their Booker T bingo cards within the first 30 minutes of the program.
Oh my goodness!
Shut up, quack, quack. What the hell?
Don't make me press that.
A whole pound of food, man, love.
Ducky, quack, quack. Right there, that sound bite right there.
Bingo!
That's in my fave five.
Bingo!
That's a
superhero.
This is a fight right here.
Nikki Heyman, you done lost your damn mind.
Somebody called the police.
I will say Booker has his work cut out in order to top That's My Big Homie from SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And finally, Mr. Seidelman.
Has to be Taker Trips, because that will be Taker's last match. That will be Triple H's last match for the longest, for quite a while. And here's my thinking about the entire thing. This will be the big match. Triple H is going to get hurt. Taker will be done. And Laurinaitis will win his match. So you'll have the John Laurinaitis reign of hilarity for the next 2 months or so, when Triple H gets healed and comes back to take back his throne as Vocare Duosity.
So I think we've covered your bases, Thomas.
Absolutely, you know, and if I was the board of directors right now, and, you know, and I had to choose, you know, who would run both Raw and SmackDown, hell, you know what? Let me put John Laurinaitis and Teddy Long in a freaking match and settle it in the ring. Whoever wins then runs both Raw and SmackDown. Put both of them in the ring. And I believe if, you know, I believe in my mind, if I was ever a wrestler in WWE, I could kick the crap out of Undertaker and end the streak anytime.
So
I think I'll pass that one along.
Yeah. All right.
There's your wrestler clap moment for the card.
Yeah, oh man, that's. I have one provision. Thanks for the call. I have one stipulation.
Could the
boogeyman
run in?
Yes, I want to see Laurinaitis dynamic dude style come to the ring. That's the only stipulation.
And Nikki, I've got to say, our last two phone calls have been from area code 631. So I was intrigued. I looked it up, and it is Long Island area. So
whoa.
I know what's happening. That's right. It's not Ryder, though. Actually, I think it's from when John Cena threw Edge in the Long Island Sound. His phone washed ashore, and these two gentlemen found it and took turns making calls into our show. So there you go.
Bless their hearts.
You know what? Actually, those are two very good phone calls.
Agreed.
They were.
Yes, they were.
And we still have a ton to talk about. Oh, my goodness.
And we've only got about 10 minutes left. Now, I've got another one from the Long Island area, and I apologize that I've had them on hold for 15 minutes. So I apologize to 631 here. Hello?
Hi.
James, silly, why'd you call back?
I wanted to talk about the Undertaker match. And by the way, Thomas is my brother.
Boots. But I
cool.
I think it's time to play the Family Feud.
No.
James, I hate to do this, but we've still got a few other things to talk about, and we don't have too much more time. But I would like to hear your thoughts real quick about the Undertaker Triple H match.
There's no way that the Undertaker streak will end. There's way too much publicity, and I believe that the WWE makes way too much money off the Undertaker's publicity.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I'm with you.
Much agreed. And thank you for calling back, and tell Thomas, because I see that he tried to call in again. we got more to talk about. Just keep him on the station here. We got a lot more to talk about.
Keep
calling
right,
next week. Thanks a lot.
All right, bye.
All right.
Okay,
that's
now
cool. God,
I told
awesome.
You they were talking fans.
Well, no, it's good. It's good, and but it turned into a conspiracy.
Yes,
Leo win.
I just missed all that because I had my headset on mute.
James.
Wait, is his name James?
Yes.
So we have our own little Jimmy calling.
That's true. That's true.
We had a little Jimmy.
And
oh,
we just got caught. Yes. Yes.
Oh my goodness. Oh no.
Oh
no.
My goodness.
My goodness.
Yes. Hey, Ninja Please.
It was all plot. This was a setup by Blog Talk Radio. We just got caught.
Yes, we did.
You know,
hell no. Yeah, we better explain before much longer. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Wow. Oh wow.
Okay, we've got 10 minutes and.
We haven't even talked about CM Punk and Chris Brown. Good God.
Oh, yes.
Okay, now...
And Iron Cheek.
Well, to be honest, I'm gonna show how much of a non-fan I am of Mr. Brown and Rihanna, because I didn't even know who the hell Chris Brown was.
Most people don't.
And personally, I'd rather keep it that way, but the fact that he had a little bitch fit over Punk's offhand comment... If I understood, the original tweet was an offhand comment, and the poor little rapper boy got his panties in a wad.
Yeah. Wait, now, how can he get his panties in a wad when he's got his pants down way below the... never mind. Anyway.
Well, and just the fact that, you know, Punk was very gracious. He was very interested in just into facing him one-on-one.
First of all, I'd pay good money to go to a Tyler Brown concert over a Chris Brown concert any day, let me tell you that
much.
Oh!
And
Tyler, just let me know how much you charge, and we'll have a little rock concert. You can play your guitar, and I don't know if you can play guitar, but better than Chris Brown, I can tell you that much.
We'll hook up my rock band setup and have some fun.
Bingo. Absolutely. Let's
and,
do it.
And I call CM Punk for a shoot fight.
Oh my god.
but here's the beauty of it. It just all started innocently on Tuesday night on Live when Michael Cole, in one of his only good things last night, Tuesday night, mentioned this. And then it just blew up. It just really blew up. But there was a really good commentary on Ugo.com or UGO.
I believe it's just Ugo.com. This is a big video games multimedia site. They cover a little bit of everything. I glanced over the article and I agree with a few of their points, especially the fact that WWE really can't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm. Or shouldn't, actually.
No, they shouldn't. Because, okay, we've got a guy who just got out of jail for beating up his girlfriend. WWE Hall of Fame's letting in another guy who likes to beat up women.
Hypocrite much?
One of their most popular guys beat up his wife. I don't know. It's just, you know, Linda might cringe a little at the thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't matter. She's not getting elected anyways.
E for effort, but it's just it's one of these things that WWE really has to tiptoe around. I don't think, you know, Punk's not going to get in trouble over this. Or at least I can't see him getting in trouble.
If anything, he should be praised. He's getting a lot of publicity for himself and the company.
This is true, because not only did he get this Ugo article, he was interviewed on CNN Headline News.
They talked about it on Fox. I want to say Wednesday night's Red Eye.
Okay.
He was on Hot 97. He was all over the place. Even Conan O'Brien mentioned it and said that Chris Brown was in a Twitter war with a wrestler, and the wrestler said that he wanted to beat him up, and he said, and Chris Brown retorted, "Well, we're not even dating." That was Chris, you know, Conan's joke. You know,
ouch.
And honestly, this is doing more for the Be a Star program than anything they've ever done in the bullying program so far.
Mm-hmm. And the shitstorm that's also come around on Twitter is that a lot of high profile people are siding with Punk. And there's a lot of crazy women who are saying Chris Brown can beat me up anytime he wants.
I have no idea what the hell those women are thinking.
Can you say
they're
these
not.
Women
that's,
were dropped on their heads
problem.
As children? I knew you could.
No, they just want the publicity. They like to see their
and the
in the
money
paper.
And the lawsuits, exactly.
Yeah. Lordy, lordy, lordy.
Santa Maria.
Is Chief I Muck a Muck out there anywhere? No, he's not back yet. Okay.
There he is.
And he's wandering around. He'll show up soon enough, and he'll hit us alongside the head. But this would be if there wasn't these other little stigmas with Tyson and Austin, this would be kind of interesting to bring into Mania. Not like Punk needed anything else to do. He's going to have his hands full with Jericho. But it seems that as we're, you know, rolling down this road to WrestleMania, it just seems that some of the secrets and crossed wires have really gotten interesting. Shaquille O'Neal says he's going to be at Mania. WWE says no. Jason, tell us about the little blurb about JR calling the basketball game.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
JR actually called a quarter, I believe, of the Celtics radio this week.
That's right, the second quarter of the Celtics-Thunder game in, I want to say, Oklahoma City. Yeah.
Yep. I believe so, and actually did a very good job, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and oh, and also the. Yeah, you're talking about, what, did he say something? I did not exactly hear anything, Nick.
Well, I listened to it at the very end. He was working with the great play-by-play guy for the Celtics, Sean Grant. And he said at the end, I don't think it was tongue-in-cheek, he said, well, I hope to see you, what was it, what's the Monday coming up, the first Monday in March, whatever it is, the 5th, the 4th, whatever, whenever Raw is
in
Boston.
Yeah, March 5th.
He said, I'll see you then. Implying that Ross is actually going to be present in Boston for Raw in a week and a half. Not saying he's going to be on air, but you never know.
Well, again, remember, he also... Okay, and that also ties in with the fact that he did the voice a couple weeks back for the WWE 13 game.
There's got to be a correlation. There has to be.
Given also all of the on-air stuff they've been with people hammering down on Cole, with the wrestlers actually getting on the microphone and hammering down on Cole,
mm-hmm.
We're going somewhere with this, and I hope it ends where I think it's going to end: Michael Cole on his ass outside of an arena, and JR taking his seat back after getting a great big hug from Lawler.
And
It's almost midnight here, so Nikki, can we need to do something to end the show live.
Yes, we do. What button am I pressing?
I think we're going with Fluttershy.
Right there.
You mean this one?
I think...
I'm just wondering if it's okay if I hold you down against your will for a little bit?
And drop it forever.
There you
and
go.
To that we say goodbye, BTR, good riddance, fuck you, and all that, all those wonderful, wonderful, colorful metaphors. Right, guys?
Yes,
right.
But listen in.
BTR.
CLW83.com.
That's
damn
it.
We are in archive, and that doesn't mean we have to stop.
Well, no, we're not stopping.
No.
I'm
freaking money's worth, guys.
We're going into overtime, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
I forgot to plug bonus stage marathons for another time. Damn it.
Okay. All right. Anyway. But did you also hear that Sean Waltman got pissed because he's not getting paid the right amount of money to be in WWE 13?
Look, Bastard should feel happy that they're including him.
Hey, it doesn't pay anything like Backdoor to China.
Ouch.
Oh.
Don't go there.
Speaking of which, why is China ruining great Marvel characters?
I heard about
why.
That.
Why
did they twist the Rock's arm into helping her?
Mm.
No. I'll put it to you this way. She is... There's a damn... X-rated movie called Queen of the Ring. Ew. That's all I've got.
Oh, no. Oh, Jesus. Oh, now.
Where she is, shall we say, working with a bunch of wrestler lookalikes. And bad ones, too.
And a Battle Royal, nonetheless.
Although,
you wanted to look.
Yes.
The only one I can tolerate is the guy that looks like Triple H, because it looks like a Halloween costume that's kind of a half joke. But otherwise. They are the poorest of the poor imitations.
I feel physically ill now.
Haven't heard there's something far, far worse coming down the pipe.
Oh, my God.
How could I
know? Is She-Hulk. Think about it.
Mm-hmm. No. That's. I think that's what the implication was.
Oh, sorry.
And the fact that I saw a thing about Rock playing Hercules... I know. I'm misreading something.
I saw that too.
In consideration.
Oh,
if Brock's gonna play Hercules as
Paul Roma gets to play himself.
Oh, and get this. Chris Jericho cut some seriously kick-ass promo when he defeated Kofi Kingston tonight in L.A.
Okay.
He showed up in the light-up jacket. He told the crowd, don't you ever boo me again. Do I need to say it in Spanish? And then he responds with a you suck chance, to which Jericho replies, no, I don't suck because I'm not from the state of California.
Oh.
No, he just said, I don't suck because I'm from San Francisco.
There was someone in the crowd threw a roll of toilet paper at him, which had him yell, who threw this at me?
Man alive.
And Eve came out to explain her side of the story in between second match, and a loud Hosky chant broke out.
Yeah, she just got roostered in her career, thanks to Cena and that one chant.
You know what? Yeah, honest to goodness, she can never turn face again, I don't think. Not in this promotion.
And now she's just a rooster from Brewster.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Have you checked WrestleChat's Twitter tonight, ladies
and
gentlemen?
What's up?
One of the readers was doing some live tweeting from one of the house shows out west.
That's the one I'm reading from.
We were talking about Jericho's promo and the fact that somebody thought he was crap.
Jericho crap.
Well, roll of toilet paper doesn't make you crap, but you know.
They must have thought he was Jimmy Graves at a Ring of Honor event.
Oh.
Speaking of which, I will be at the 10th anniversary show next Sunday.
Awesome.
Yeah. In New York. I have a full wrestling march coming up. which is March 4th, which is the 10th anniversary event of Ring of Honor, praise be. Then I have 2 weeks later the Raw House Show at MSG, mm-hmm. and then the SmackDown taping 2 days later.
Mm. Well, Jason.
Speaking of SmackDown tapings, it's Tuesday. They're at Key Arena in Seattle, so I have some money in my savings account that I'll probably end up dropping some good money to try to get a good seat at Key Arena.
Good!
It's Key Arena. It shouldn't be too hard from what you've told me in the past.
Oh, yeah. WWE does not do well at Key Arena.
You don't have to worry about getting bumped for Sonic's games.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I've had the opposite problem with Target Center. I just can't get on the floor.
Yeah, I've been pretty much. I was going to ask you about that. I was going to ask you, was it a sold out crowd at Target Center?
Damn near. And by the way, they didn't have to pipe in any crowd noise.
Okay, good.
Also, there were some other things. Anybody here figure collectors, memorabilia collectors?
I'm into that. Here and there.
Okay, just some things that I noticed while I was walking around the Target Center. They had a display set up with some of the current Mattel figures and a bunch of the Rumblers. Just as a boost for their merchandise sales, they were selling a limited edition Rumblers pack of John Cena and The Rock. Mm. They've also released new T-shirts, obviously for Taker, for Triple H. They had CM Punk Chicago Fire shirt. They of course had the cups. Sure. Runaway R-Truth. They had the cups and
what's CM Punk on them?
Mm-hmm.
I believe so, but what was more conspicuous was who wasn't on them.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Triple H nor Undertaker were included.
Wow.
Mm. Interesting.
It makes sense because Undertaker was not in the SmackDown intro, so indeed, Mania may very well be the last time as anything beyond a special attraction.
Yeah.
And
maybe,
go ahead.
No, please. Speak up, DJ.
I was going to say, funny you should mention T-shirts because WWEshop.com, Triple H, Shawn Michaels plug there, actually released a line of what they call kayfabe T-shirts. Where they have T-shirts branded with the word heel, one that says jobber, one that says I've got heat, one that says I'm getting over, and other related insider phrases. I never thought I'd see the day, but it happened.
That's where I was getting to. Yeah, he's right.
They're kind of goofy, but I'm trying to figure out, and I'm going to have to ask a few workers about these shirts. If they saw somebody they run into an acquaintance wearing one of these shirts, does that make them a mark?
There's a shirt for that.
I realize that. I would love to walk into a show wearing a shirt that says "What's your finish?" I mean, that's hilarious. But it's one of those things. Do you do that? Do you not do that? I mean, I've got my custom "I'd rather work than watch" shirt, but
I love that. That is just so yeah. Oh God.
I'd like a "Who've you ever beat" shirt.
There you go.
How about your custom one?
Who are you with that old dandy?
Carl, you were asking me about my shirt.
Yeah, your shirt.
My folks came across one of these junk magazines that has all kinds of wacky stuff, and they let you build your own T-shirt. They don't have a whole lot of selection on font size, or they just they give you a limit of how much you can put on it. So I got a shirt that said "I'd rather work than watch."
Mm.
And this past Christmas, I got a shirt that was a MythBusters shout out. Because it says on there, "Well, there's your problem."
There's your problem.
That sounds like the hat store lids and their limited selection of fonts and embroidery.
But the shirts are very, very basic, and they're priced lower than most of the other WWE T-shirts.
I'd be having one of those if I had the money. Just saying.
Uh-huh.
We talked about that.
I'd rather buy a Williamswear T-shirt.
That a boy.
Yeah, but which service, though? It can't make up its mind.
Yeah, well, we're working towards it. Give us time.
Yes. Honestly, I'm not sure if I like the idea of the shirts, because I feel like they break the fourth wall too much. I like the Triple H "You Damn Right I'm Over" shirt, because it was one of those one-shot gags, and not a full...
So where are these
I think they're trying to capitalize on the popularity of, if you remember the Zack Ryder, Two Long Island Story vignettes that ran in September about the "I'm drawing money, I'm getting over a jobber."
Yeah.
And then the Dolph Ziggler hashtag heel. I agree. I think that's too much breaking the fourth wall.
Now I'm surprised they haven't done hashtag heel T-shirts and hoodies and stuff like that. Those would sell in a heartbeat. There's a lot of people who would want those.
I think he's using the term "show off" more now than hashtag heel.
Unfortunately.
Right.
Which is a shame, because it rolls off the tongue very well. The one time he said it, I applaud it. Hashtag heel, and grin.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to call Bill Clinton 20.
Meanwhile, in breaking news, TNAWrestling.com is trying to come out with a "Screw Your Boob" shirt.
Yeah, okay, Jim.
Didn't we beat that thing to death when it first came out around 2007?
Well,
yeah,
it's not
even on the board anymore.
Yeah.
I gotta say, though, those two phone calls tonight were just 10 shades of awesome. I'm sorry. That was just so much fun. I was just like,
damn shame we're not getting any more of them anytime soon.
But you know what? That was too much fun. But good grief.
Let's say this much also before we forget, and where Carl and I kind of have more of a vested interest in terms of the outside of the show kind of aspect. The show's going to a podcast format. The shows will be up on CLW83.com. I believe that's the plan, correct, Carl?
Yes. Something else besides that. I'm going to keep it hitting right now, though.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
There could be an option for the
See if it's final yet or not. I don't know.
Yeah, there could be the option for the occasional special that would be live in a manner. We're not going to divulge everything. So.
No.
Just.
There's just other alternative sources, and they're free. Oh, sorry.
Yes, unlike 30, you bastards.
I can't
yes,
wait.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Promo again, damn it. No, I'm kidding.
I was literally rolling off my chair.
Can I ask a question real quick of Carl?
Yes.
Hey, I know we're leaving BTR and this is our last show, but I hope to God that you have this episode available for download for a little while, because
yeah.
I'm going to play the shit out of this. This is awesome.
Yeah,
it's
already on iTunes, actually, so go over there and pick it up.
Yeah.
Well, once we're done here.
Outstanding.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
I'm crying.
This was 3 months in the making, technically, and I did it all in like an hour. So,
yeah.
You
build up.
Wait, Carl, you need to upload that to YouTube.
We,
sure.
I
would.
Just that promo. Yeah,
we'll get it up.
So that promo is just
gold.
Now I got to make the mirror image video of Big Bill Hells for Blog Talk Radio. That'll be fun.
Hey, Jim?
Yes.
Who exactly is Big Bill Hells? I've heard the name.
Look it up on YouTube, Big Bill Hells, or look up the term "Fuck You, Baltimore." It's a fictitious car company. It's not real. It was done as a spoof on for some industry awards thing or something.
Oh, sort of like it'll be all right on the night. That sort of thing.
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what. Awesome.
I saw that on Deadspin years ago. It's a great video.
Yeah, that's right.
And actually, before we do split here, if you'll let me, Nikki, I actually have something planned.
Okay.
Yeah.
For all of 11 of us that are doing this right now, I do want to go around the table, so to speak. You have to do some thinking, probably, but think of one moment in this show's history that was probably the best.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
All right,
okay.
I'm going to start with Jason.
Honestly, I will tell you, I'm going to give you this one, and this is it was actually the transition show, Nikki.
Okay.
This is when we talked about Edge, Larry Sweeney, and some other subject that was really serious, and it just flowed in such a way that you realize we had something. Did you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that was just, it was just beautiful. I mean, there were a lot of funny moments. I mean, there were a lot of times where, you know, where we played a pony clip or, you know, where we just lost the track of something. And literally, there will
yeah.
be crying. But to me, that was a great show.
Yeah, I will do that. Just want to let you know,
okay.
And then there was a time where Rob just came in with a non sequitur, and that
yeah.
was just.
Oh, jeez. Hello.
Yeah,
I always remember
okay.
that moment here.
Well, but sighty man.
Anyway. And this was like 2010, right, Jason?
This was, yeah, this was around 2010, right around April 2010.
About 2 years
close
ago,
to
yeah.
when Rob gave up the show, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, but no, but there was a point where, I mean, it was just like, we treated a lot of stuff with requests. Also, I also thought the emergency broadcast show was great.
Yes, earlier this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or last year, rather.
Late last year, yeah.
Late last year, excuse me. Cut that out. Late last year, yes. All right. VRM, you've been around long as well.
I can't really think of any off the top of my head. I remember there was one a couple, like, last year, in my last school year, where I forget what was said, but it was just so funny. I was on the floor crying and pissing with laughter.
Was this the You Win the Internet?
No, I don't think this was You and the Internet. This was something else. I was actually on the floor for about 5 minutes. I don't think it was You and the Internet.
Okay.
That would be Rob getting hit with the chair, for the record.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're all about violence on this show. That's
yeah,
yes.
we are.
Yes.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
No, of course
yeah,
not.
That said, I'm fading fast.
You get some sleep.
Get some sleep, brother.
Thanks. Good night.
Night.
All right, we'll go to another person who's been around pretty long as well, probably longer than some of us. Typho.
gotta say the one that I hosted, right? That'd be the greatest. an actual answer. Probably. I mean, it's too early to say this show, but it's probably going to be up there. But another one. I mean, I don't remember the show, but I feel kind of bad about saying it now. But at the time, it was hilarious in my mind. Was the build-up to Extreme Rules and Row 9. I did my my on-site report on the strap match for Umaga and CM Punk. There was maybe two of you actually around at that time, but I thought it was great. But some of the stuff that I said now with what's happened to Umaga maybe isn't the greatest, but at the time, I thought it was hilarious.
There you go.
Umaga!
There you go. All right, four.
To me, not so much a moment so much as just the sound bites, whether it's Undertaker asking, who do you think you are, Baby Oil La, Triple H admitting he's an a-hole, or the My Little Pony stuff. Just the randomness.
By the way, that will still be in the show's forkings. Don't worry.
Dance, 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 dance.
We have ways of making them run.
Well,
yeah, you got
it. And of course, I like my newest edition up there because it works.
Bullshit, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
There you go.
And of course, the WORK thing, yes.
Yeah, Steve Bryan for the win.
Yes.
Very.
Mr. Henniger, Josh, that is, would you agree? What would you think?
My favorite moment actually happened to Rob as a direct result of Nikki.
Oh, come on.
The chair shot.
Hit him with a folding chair! A shame I wasn't there that night, but the roads were sucky.
All right.
Yeah.
DJ, still
that
around?
The big nose worm.
Yeah.
All right.
DJ?
Yes, sir.
I've got a lot of moments. It's difficult to narrow down. I'll just name the shows that I thought were really good. The 100th episode I really enjoyed. I think Nikki had on Aaron Draven.
Astonishing Aaron Williams and Dustin Ray.
Aaron Williams. I got the wrong Aaron. But yeah. the indie workers were good for the 100th show. I like that. I like Matthew from Botchamania coming on.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Macho Man tribute we did last year. This show was really good. And I've got one saved on my hard drive. I don't know when it's from. I could probably give a guess, but I just have it titled as NAWC Funny. Because it was the funniest show I think I've ever been a part of. Everybody was on top of their game that night. And I was out of breath because I was laughing so hard. So that one has to be probably the my favorite one.
I remember what year this was from.
It was Santino. And it would have been the lead up to the show because we did Pick'ems for the one where Santino and Vicky Guerrero had their hog pen match. So it was 2009. It was must have been after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that show was my favorite. I laughed so hard the whole time.
Okay, I'll go now. With me, all the interviews that this show's produced. Yeah, Matthew, of course. Astonishing Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the recent ones, your one tonight, that was pretty good.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And I loved having the guys on. I mean, David Lanning was really cool. And Super Oprah, which sounds like you want me to bring Super Oprah back.
Super Oprah.
Yes.
I can arrange that.
Bring back Super Oprah.
I can arrange that.
And, of course, all the silliness that makes this show fun for me. That's been pretty good.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, we should not forget Trista in this.
Yeah. Come back, Trista!
You know.
Or Lucas.
Yeah. Look, where did Lucas go? He's not even on the list anymore.
I think Punkari just vanished.
if anybody knows how to get a hold of him.
We are putting out an APB, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
There you go.
J-O-B with the APB on the PPV.
Okay, I believe three people are left to go here. I'm going to start with Jim.
Well, I was going to say Super Oprah before Nikki mentioned it, because that was just awesome, just to put a voice and a character, just to trace the Super Oprah character. But honest to goodness, you know, every show I've been a part of and every show I've listened to since having a stake in the show from when Rob had me come on for the opens, well, it's been almost 3 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's just been fun to be a part of this family, and as the saying goes, or actually as the Carpenters once famously sung, good God, I'm turning into Chris Berman, we have only just begun.
Back, 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 yeah.
Yeah, where are the doo-doo-doos? I need some.
Oh, jeez.
Do-do-do. But no, lots of great stuff with this show. I guess we got to go to Jason next, right?
No, I've already done mine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're going to go to Mr. Seidy.
Yes.
Did you do Brian Negret?
Not yet, because he's been around the shortest.
Dan's been around the longest.
Yeah, you and I? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been here since day one. I left you in college.
Well, still.
Yeah. God, there's... I remember the first that were just me and Nikki, you know, when we were... the East-West Wrestling Connection instead of the North-South. North mm-hmm. was me and you and a few other people.
Yeah, well,
Nikki
I was
one of them.
Busy killing my body, working two jobs. You two took it over, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Late 2007, 2008.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, late 2007, we had our first show. We just took the ball, ran with it, and here we are today.
Yep.
A lot has changed in our lives. We've extended the panel to numbers we've never thought. I mean, some of the highlights were probably the first time we introduced something that we need to bring back in the future. The two things we did is that the first version of Round the Horn.
Oh, God.
A lot of fun.
I figured you'd say that.
Yeah. A little Max Kellerman.
Yeah, and sadly, I'm growing the mustache and goatee combination. Like, I'm
wait, I just thought about
tomorrow.
But wait a minute. Like, little Max Kellerman, would that make you Max Mini?
Oh, jeez.
Oh.
Thank you.
No, if I still have a soundboard, Jim, you would get burninated by that.
Good. But you don't. But you wouldn't really know that.
Well,
yeah.
Duh.
That wasn't me. Your pants should be Max Moon.
Anyway.
Ah, that was well played.
That's worse.
At least you get a jetpack.
anyway, yes, Rob, what was the second one?
The first time we ever did 101.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Legend, wait for it. Dairy.
I always remember the build-up that me and Jason had to a trivia contest. Not talking about the actual trivia contest that we have, but the build-up was always fun, too.
The build was fun.
Mm-hmm.
The build was fun.
Oh, and speaking of build-up, Game Garbage is beating Game Show News Net 41-31.
Oh, shut up.
No, allow me. Rob, just hold still. This won't hurt long.
Thank you very much. I'm not going there publicly. Whatever
I'm
happens
I'm not going
happens.
There publicly either.
That's why I didn't say
the
nothing.
Best site win. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
As long as
I'm
it's not
I'm surprised we're even in
problems.
The damn final, to be honest.
It's all good.
Anyway, well, let's go ahead and go to Mr. Brian Henniger, and then we'll... say nighty-night.
You didn't talk to me.
Well, you come last because you're...
Oh, you come last because you're the host.
Okay.
You're a hostess.
Anyway, Brian.
Well, I've
Okay, well, I've got two particular episodes in my personal memory that are the best. First is the very first time I ever made an appearance, which was the WrestleMania 27 preview show,
mm-hmm.
in which I more or less was introduced to you guys, and I'll never forget what Carl said to me after we finished. All you said was, "We'll talk, Brian. We'll talk."
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. From there, it's blossomed into something bigger than I think I could have ever imagined, and I'm just you guys do not know how grateful I am that you let me do this. The other episode that stands out is, I don't know the exact date, but it was the invention of Hit 'Em with the Folding Chair.
I think it was the first time you told that story, because it just, it's developed a life of its own.
Probably like the second one you were born.
But, you know, I say this every time we do one of these little recollections, but, you know, I am so blessed that I get to do this with you guys. I'm so honored and I'm so privileged. You guys, I can count every one of you as my friend. And I mean that as sincerely as I can. Every one of the people in this room I consider a friend.
Except the people at Blog Talk Radio who are putting the stream on, they're not so much.
No.
I meant specifically the people who are talking right now.
Yeah, we got you.
FUBTR,
yes.
Okay.
Blog Talk Radio is no one's
friend. Blog Talk Radio, you could just kiss my ass. You know, just...
Oh, my.
But, yeah, that's it.
And Miss Host.
Well, I've got a couple that I've really enjoyed. I loved the emergency broadcast. I can't believe we threw that together in 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was just amazing. But it had to be done because
mm-hmm.
I mean everybody's mind was blown. There was nothing left of the internet. It was just too perfect. This show has gotten itself a lot of energy. I'm really, really happy with the way this show's gone since I picked it up, and that's not arrogance. I can't do this alone. I'm hoping that I've been trying to shape this into something that is apart from what you're going to hear on any other wrestling show. Most other wrestling radio shows is going to be just, it's all crap. WWE sucks. TNA crap. Ring of Honor is the only worthwhile league in the world. Or, you know, insert Progresso, Lucha, whoever.
Yeah, Chikara Pro.
I mean, I'm not...
Russellicious.
Russellicious, baby! Yeah!
Yeah. Yeah. Typo's favorite show.
Sorry, I had to say it.
Running gags on top of this.
Mm-hmm. Why, hello, Mr. McLean. How are you doing?
I was going to say, after watching the recent Windjammer Wednesdays, WrestleLicious sounds like 80s World Wrestling Federation by comparison.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's stuff like this. I mean, just the fact that, you know, we get together, we have a lot of fun with it, we are trying to look at everything from a more positive light in the fact that the entire internet is such a smart house.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been called an apologist. I'm not an apologist. I enjoy what I watch. If I don't like it, I don't watch it. And that's something I've never understood about the rest of the internet. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the fact that I've got, you know, the rest of us here, we may not always agree on how all this works. We may not always agree on how things are going to go, but I think we deconstruct it. We see the positive light. We see the actual direction it's going. Putting on a wrestling show is hard. Putting on a wrestling radio show, hell, we're armchair bookers and just having way too much fun with it. And I love that fact. We've had fun just with the regular shows. The emergency broadcast was awesome. Little surprises when we got Brian Henniger, when Shane Beeman called in that one night.
Mm-hmm.
And, damn it, I wish he was here.
Yeah.
But Shane...
Yeah, where is Brian? Or Shane, rather.
I don't know. I told everybody to just come trickling in when they could. So, mm-hmm. but... you know, regardless, we've had a lot of fun with the show, and I want to keep having fun with this show.
Me too.
Agreed.
And a much better quality format starting next week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
This is the equivalent of us going to high definition, folks. Oh, I did. I swear to God, I didn't even realize that, Jason. Right. I swear, man.
Sure, I'm serious.
I wasn't.
Sure,
no.
Philly boy.
Okay, explain this to me.
Okay. I just got my dish upgraded to high def, and I've watched some events in high def, and they're really awesome.
But enough about you watching Sports Nation for the first time in high def, Jason.
No, it was actually like some of the movies or some of the concerts or
right.
Actually, believe it or not, like some of the nature shows. Like, I mean, you know, like I also, you know, seen Survivor in HD, which they shot in HD, which is pretty damn cool.
I wonder
how Jeopardy looks in HD.
Oh God.
Once you get past Rebecca's wrinkles. but you have never lived, Jason. I will tell you this wholeheartedly: you have not lived until you have seen the reruns of Bob Ross's "The Joy of Painting" in high definition.
It's amazing
stuff. The afro just stands out.
Hey, you know, honestly, I used to love that show.
Oh, who doesn't? Come on, who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
When I was a little kid, I mean, I thought my favorite bit, and I hate to go off topic, but my favorite bit on that whole show was when he would clean his brush, because he's such a calm guy. So he'd take this brush, put it in the water, you just beat the fire out of it.
Beat it like Chris Brown. No, let's not.
No! That's on that note, I'm going home.
I actually enjoyed the symbolism of that show. How
fuck.
How you could look at some of the splotches and not know what he was doing. And then by the end, it just becomes apparent that he knew all along what he was doing with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've got to assume that watching that on, you know, like on acid has got to be the craziest thing ever. I can only imagine what that would look like.
Some of us don't have to assume, Typo.
Let's call up Spike Dudley and see.
Anyway, listen, I'm congested. I'm tired. I'm going home. I'll talk
before
to you guys
do,
later.
Jason.
All right.
Before you do, right
later,
away.
Jason.
All right. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
No, Jason. Wait 1 second.
What?
Carl.
Before you do, everybody, get on stage here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Everyone, get ready to pop a whole bunch of balloons.
Yay!
Yeah. Yes.
The CLWH3.com. That's the place.
Is this the part where I dance?
Yes.
Yeah, do the mariachi.
Full soft cue. That. Ooh, there goes my bag.
Who's
going
to step on?
That would be Bob.
Don't trip with my behind, okay?
It's
my ass. Yes, exactly.
I feel like the goblin cougar should be running through.
We'd be
there
wouldn't
be winning the hearts of the people of Hartford.
Look at that. Oh, my God. I am going to create the Booker T bingo card. If I can, I will trademark that crap. not really.
All right.
Good night, guys. Thanks so much. We'll
I
look
think
for you
it's
going to
do it for BTR.
Yes, and yes. Bite me, BTR. See you later.
BTR, screw you.
Yes.
Yeah, you ain't getting no more of my money, biatch.
Bingo.
The people of this show, I wish you well. The manager of Blog Talk Radio, you can go to hell.
You got it. Bye.
Oh, yeah. BTR?
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, me. Hell yeah.
Blog Talk Radio, screw you. I hate you, and I will see you on Tuesday.
And you're going into the room.
Yes!
And he is going, and Pinkie Pie, how long is it going into the room?
Forever. Forever.
Time to get
Blog Talk Radio, we wish you well in your future endeavors.
No, we don't.
Piss off, BTR. You
when
screwed
you
us up
when you decide not to be lame
long.
Anymore, give me a call.
There we go. And there was one other button I wanted to press, and I can't find it now.
There you go.
There.
That'll work.
Folks, stay tuned to CLW3.com for more information on a better quality show next week.
And guys, I'm going to say something that I've never said on this radio show before, and I probably will never say on the radio again.
Okay.
So, savor the flavor. BTR, fuck you.
Good night, all.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.